school. Go to www.justreadflorida.com or call 1-866-FLA-READ. This message has been brought to you by the Florida Department of Education, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, kid, over here, inside your radio.
30 seconds to the Bill Smith disclaimer.
Energy in your home, I'm going to pig out on it. Anyway, I got a deal for you. There's this new website called energyhog.org. Forget about it. It teaches kids how to get rid of us energy hogs. So you promise not to log on to energyhog.org, and I promise not to eat your radio. Deal?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns. There's no government document more important than this. Because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all Americans' voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show. America's number one democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Welcome to the Guy James Show. So happy to have all of you along with us here in Wink WNOG, here locally in Naples and Fort Myers, Florida, and surrounding area, big surrounding area. We've got a lot of coverage here with these two stations. And all of our friends on the internet around the world. We do hear from lots of people around the world. And I do want you to know in other countries, it's especially fascinating to hear your take on what goes on here in the United States. Many of them are expatriates that have to live overseas for a job with an American company. Some of them going to school overseas, some of them on sabbaticals, vacations, whatever. But we do enjoy hearing from you because it is most interesting to hear views coming from other countries about what is happening here in the USA today. And I must tell you, it's not all that good news most of the time. Just not all that much, you know, a lot going on. We will not have any news about the Michael Jackson trial. We will not have any news about the bizarro world, bride running away in Georgia. Oh, my God. I was so tired of hearing that this week. I wanted to scream. We have big news going on all over the world, and what do the networks give us? You know, I heard Walter Cronkite talking a while back about this. News is no longer driven by what is newsworthy. It's driven by the bottom line, and the networks figured out that, well, we wanted to hear about that bride that ran away. Like I cared. Like I cared. I mean, that happens 100,000 times a year in this country. I even know somebody it happened to. And like I would care. Who would care about that? The girl's wacko. The guy's wacko. I don't know. I said I wouldn't talk about it, but I'm not. Here I am talking about it, but it drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy when I hear him talking about that kind of stuff. And here we have big news going on. We have this bombshell, and I mean bombshell, come up with this memo from Great Britain this week. You know, we're going to talk about it a little later, but we had a caller last week saying, oh, you have no proof that Bush lied about the war. And here comes this memo. We happen to have the whole thing right here. Here comes this memo. It's in their own words. The whole lie is detailed. Oh, man. I mean, come on. And we're going to talk about that. Of course, we can't let a program go by without talking about the Reverend Pat Robertson, because we have a few things to talk about him about, you know. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Locally, 479-5540. Here in Lee County and Collier County, Florida, 263-6570. We invite you to call. We want to hear your take on what we're talking about tonight, okay? I hope that when you call the show and we've got a subject going, you won't take us on a 90-degree turn someplace. We don't want to do that if we've got something going. So do keep that in mind and be respectful of what we're trying to accomplish on the program. You all heard about the church up in North Carolina, and of course we're going to talk about that. How could we not? To me, that was huge news. All the divisiveness going on, the Cheney quote this week about the other faith. I don't know about you, and I'm going to talk about this in a little while. In my lifetime, I have never heard such a despicable quote coming out of the mouth of an American leader as Dick Cheney. Of course, it's Dick Cheney. It's Dick Cheney of the Bush administration, so why should I expect anything different? But the most offensive thing I've ever heard a public figure say in this United States of America in my lifetime came from Dick Cheney this week. And did you hear anything about it? No, you heard about the bride missing. You heard about the, what's her name, Paula Abdul. Crisis. Oh, yes. America comes to a standstill. While they tell us that an affair was going on between an attractive woman and a young guy. Oh, what news. My, oh, my, oh, and in Hollywood to boot. Boy, that never happens, does it? I tell you, I'm getting more and more contempt for the news stations all the time. I really am. But the thing by Cheney this week, which we'll go into in detail in a little while, there's a pattern developing that is very disturbing to me. Very, very disturbing to me. And lest you think that I'm too sensitive about all this, I've thought this through. I have thought this through. And I want you to think this through, too, when you hear things like Cheney said this week. You know, I love this country. I love this country so much that it breaks my heart to see what's happening to her right now. I'm kind of a student of the Civil War, and I see some similarities, and I don't like what I see. I'm sure you've seen it, too. I see an ideological difference that's becoming wider and wider, and I'm not sure what the answer is. You know, we had the North and the South, and now we've got the red states and the blue states, and the main difference between the two is as stark as anything we experienced through the American tragedy known as the Civil War. What's the main difference? Sadly, I think we're becoming divided mostly because of religious differences. Imagine that. If you had told me, and think about yourself on this, if you told me, and if someone had told you 20 years ago that America would be in danger of splitting over religious issues, I would have laughed at you. People, do you remember what went on in Ireland all those years? Do you remember how Americans looked at that and went, oh, how disgusting, how ridiculous, how stupid of them? Do you remember that? And now we're starting to go through the same thing. Just the only thing is we don't have the firebombs yet and we don't have the guns in the street. But think about it. 20 years ago, if you'd have thought of America would be in danger of splitting over religious issues, it would have been a laugh. But it's happening, and it's another American tragedy that need not happen. And the people involved in it need to pull back before it's too late. You know, the forces at work in the red state communities are powerful. They are. And seemingly, they're hard to stop. And I think the genie's out of the bottle. And right now, I feel hopeless about this. I have this sense of hopelessness. I don't see a way to put the genie back in the bottle. As you all know, because my audience is a very astute, a very learned audience, by and large, religious differences have been the catalyst for the majority of wars since even before the Dark Ages. Millions upon millions of people have been slaughtered in the name of God, in the name of Allah, Muhammad, Jesus, and almost any other religious figure you can name. Religious wars are the scariest wars of all because there's no reasoning with either side. People's religion is so deeply ingrained in their lives that there's no toleration for others' feelings and beliefs. Those religious people who should be espousing the virtues of love and tolerance are themselves the intolerant ones, and they're willing to kill in the name of their God. We've seen it so much lately. It's frightening because in our country, at least, Christianity being the most predominant religion, and it teaches love and respect for others above all things. And generally, you know, it's the golden rule which says do unto others. And yet, we have a significant number of Christians in this country who are completely willing to trash others' faiths and beliefs, along with those who are different from them in many other ways, the colors of their skin, their political beliefs. I'm beginning to see the seeds of bigotry and hatred being sown by people claiming to be religious. And it truly frightens me. And it makes me mourn for this country. That's not what we're about. All you have to do is listen to Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and James Dobson and like to understand exactly what I'm talking about here. But the most disturbing part of all this is that the Bush administration seems to be willingly fanning the flames of religious intolerance and bigotry. I really cannot think of another administration in modern times, at least, who has purposely, and I mean that, purposely, it's so evident, purposely divided this nation so successfully. They've driven a wedge, and they've done it with malice aforethought. We've always had our differences, but the role of a proven leader has always been to be a cohesive force that would act as the glue, which would hold the fabric of this society together. And the really amazing part of this whole scene is that one of the things that liberals dislike about Bush is that he appears to see himself as some sort of messianic leader, ordained by God to lead us, and that very thing is what the conservatives think is so wonderful about him. Figure that out. How can two such divergent attitudes come out of... I don't know. You know, he's literally pulled the rug out from under the Joe Sixpack Republicans who helped to elect him. He's driven up the national debt. The budget deficit is spinning wildly out of control. The trade deficit is on the road to disaster. Jobs are going overseas by the thousands. Drive by your local gas station. That's another one. Property taxes are up. Wages are completely flat. Food prices are up. And make no mistake about it, inflation is starting to rear its ugly head. And still, these Joe Sixpack, middle-of-the-road people back George Bush. Why? Because of the way he is dividing us. That's why. They're masters at it. He preaches to them about the gays, about the abortion, and the warmongering over and over and over again. That party preaches about the gays, the abortion, and the warmongering, and he and his administration have stolen the money right out of the pockets and from the pockets of their children and grandchildren. But he and his gang have been so skillful at demonizing gays and Muslims and pro-choice people that they've stuck with him no matter what. That's how deeply ingrained that is into people. And they're playing those cards, folks. They're, make no mistake about it, they are playing those cards. You know, they've committed the ultimate hypocrisy when they use their newfound phrase, culture of life. That just makes me want to scream. How many people did George Bush execute in Texas? How many Texans have been kicked out of hospitals and died in Texas because they couldn't afford to pay? How many American soldiers have died needlessly? And that's to say nothing at all of the many thousands of innocent Iraqis who have died because of the American bombs and bullets. We're going to set them free, give them democracy if we have to kill them all. You know, they've thrown clean air and environmental issues overboard in the name of greed. They've operated their administration with the same degree of ultra-secrecy as the old KGB. And still, they back him to the hilt. You know, before Bush, this was a nation doing very well, with some problems. Admittedly, we'll always have some problems, but we were doing very well, if you remember. The problems weren't insurmountable. But by and large, the nation was moving in the right direction. But Bush and his gang take over in Washington, and everything goes sour, and I do mean sour in a major way. I'm still waiting for someone to call this show and tell me the positive accomplishments of George W. Bush and his administration. Hey, this isn't a culture thing. It's not a North versus South issue. I love NASCAR. I love good barbecue and the Dixie chicks and grits as much as any Southerner. And I wasn't born a Southerner. But I love the Southern culture. I do. And my friends who know me know that. I do. I love the South. Great affection for the South. We've got to get it together again, folks. And the first thing on the agenda is to get some leadership that's really interested in making this one nation again, instead of the right and the left, or the north and the south, or the red and the blue. One nation under God, and most of all, indivisible. Indivisible. That's a word this administration has forgotten about, or ignored. Indivisible. With liberty and justice for all. I don't know. It's disturbing to me. I see. Don't you see that? Do you agree? Do you see the divisiveness that's going on right now? And we've got some things we're going to talk about today that are so terribly divisive. Some things happened this week in the realm of divisiveness that I just sit back and wonder if I'm dreaming. How could this be happening to my America? How could people born in this country have some of the views that they have right now? It's because of this massive propaganda going on. It's certainly not because of the, quote, liberal media, which, by the way, doesn't exist, if it ever did. Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 in Collier County. We would love to hear from you. We're going to go to Lori up in Wisconsin. Lori, what do you think about this divisiveness?
Well, actually my topic was, you know, how bad will things get before people wake up? And I heard you talking about hope earlier, and, you know, my mother, I was, you know, during the campaign, we were looking for someone to give us hope. And as for me, I found that in General Wesley Clark. I really hope that guy runs again in 2008, although that's a little off topic. Really, I wonder how bad things will have to get.
No, hope has everything to do with what's going on right now. When we're divided like this, hope is important.
Well, I talk to so many people who have a feeling of hopelessness.
Yes. I do,
and,
too.
And I'm hearing that in you, in your, you know, in the way you're talking, and I sure understand. It is, you know, I've put a lot of people's kids from Barnes & Noble through college because I've been buying a lot of the books. But, you know, I don't see too many books with ideas for solutions. But, you know, I really do wonder, what will the breaking point be? What do you think?
Well, a subject that we're going to talk about a little later in the program, I think may have started this week. I think the fuse might have been lit. Some people might think it's silly of me to think so, but someone finally, you heard about the church down in...
God, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a good start right there. How far will it go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how far we can go. I pray to God that this country doesn't get any more divided than it is right now. I think it's bulging at the seams right now, and you start to see the hate coming forth from both sides.
Well, I'm a Democrat, of course, and I go to church every Sunday. I've taught Sunday school, and I'm a teacher, and boy, I really resent Bill Frist's comments.
And Cheney's comments this week about the other faith. I found that I got a little piece we're going to talk about him in a little while. I just see them promoting it. I just see them really fanning those flames of divisiveness and to serve their own ends and their political ends. And I don't like what I'm seeing. I'm very, very disappointed that we as Americans, and you're right, Lori, about we're not seeing the answers.
Mm-hmm.
There are many good Democrats out there, and I agree with you about Wesley Clark. I think.
Oh, I would vote for someone else too. I don't mean to.
Yeah.
I think he got the treatment. I think they tried the Swiss boat style attacks with him. That didn't work, so they ignored him.
Yeah.
He came back from the testifying at The Hague against Milosevic, and he won Oklahoma, and that was the last. That was right about the same time. That's just the last you heard of him. So I guess when attacks don't work, what you can do is try to ignore that person. And I think it was really effective there.
Well, the day after the Iowa primaries, when pretty much that's what did it for John Kerry,
mm-hmm.
We were in the Senate office building, and we dropped in on Kerry's office.
Mm-hmm.
And they were whooping it up, and they had this... I'll tell you exactly what they said. They were, of course, proud and happy that they'd won, but they said they had won because they sent the pros in. And sadly, I think that's what John Kerry and some of the other candidates were lacking. John Kerry had the pros on his side, and I voted for John Kerry, and I love John Kerry.
I did too.
I think he'd have made a fine president. But I don't think Wesley Clark had the organization that Kerry did.
No, he should have went to Iowa, I think. And
yeah.
God, he's just an incredible... He's not a politician, but he has politically related experience.
And maybe that's what we need.
I think that's exactly what we need. And, if you're a family of a soldier right now, you should remember the fact that he led a successful campaign in Kosovo where not one American casualty...
Exactly right.
There wasn't one, and he was one of the major people that put together the Dayton Peace Accords. He's
yep.
got, he was in Office of Management and Budget in the White House. I mean, he's a Rhodes Scholar, and my God,
you can't find you really got to dig. And I never did see anything bad about Wesley Clark. You just can't. He's not tainted with political scandals of any kind. He's Mr. Clean, and I agree with you, Lori. I think you're going to hear more from him.
Well, I think so, and I strongly got behind John Kerry. I supported him and volunteered and donated and did all that because my general was behind him, and I was happy to do the same. And I really think it's pathetic what those Swiss boaties are doing. And did I hear John Corsi was going to run? For against John Kerry, or wasn't it one of the Swift Boat guys was going to run against him?
I don't know.
For Senate?
I hope they do. I hope they do.
Sure do.
I really hope they do. I'd have some fun with that. Lori, thank you for your call.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good to hear from
you. I wish we had you up here in northern Wisconsin.
Well, I love Wisconsin, the old Badger State. I used to come to Madison every other year to see the Ohio State Buckeyes play those Badgers up there, and there's no more beautiful place on a fall afternoon with the leaves coming down than in Lake Mendota and the University of Wisconsin campus. Is pretty doggone
right.
Nice up there.
And we're a blue state too, damn it.
That's right.
All right.
Thanks so much.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Well, we're going to go down to Naples and talk to John. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I know one good thing that Bush has managed to do.
All right, what has he done?
He's managed to wake up millions of American youth to how bad he really is doing as a president. PunkVoter.com managed to register 2 million Democrats this year under the age of 25.
That's good news.
So if anything, he at least woke the youth up to the fact that we're going in the wrong direction. Because I'm 24. I grew up in the late 90s when apathy was the name of the game. And I've never before in an election since I've been 18 have I seen people close to my age or younger get as involved as they did. I mean, they didn't swing the vote as much as they could have, but we at least put in a damn good try.
Well, it was a good start, and we're going to depend on those on those young people increasing exponentially in their numbers in the next election. I think we do have the ear of the young people now, and it's I think at least they've gotten a taste of just how important this can be.
Well, you know, people my age grew up with Vietnam era parents.
Yeah,
our view of war is a little bit different, and once you start seeing American soldiers dying in the thousands, it wakes up people my age to what's really going on.
Certainly does.
You know, I have a younger brother who's very disenchanted with the Army, of which he's a part of right now, who's trying as hard as he can to get out early, and he's not alone.
Hmm. Well,
I don't understand why things like compassion and acceptance are considered negative attributes of a person, because basically that's what the Republican Party has been telling people, that if you accept people for their differences, well, then you're the bad guy.
You're soft.
Yeah.
You're soft. Yeah, that's right. And you're soft and they'll get you because you're soft. No, I like to think, you know, a thinking man with compassion. I'll take that any old time. Thanks so much for your call, John.
You're welcome. Good Thank you for your show. You know, Naples, Florida, Collier County, the most Republican place I've ever lived, needs more of you.
So. Well, we're trying. And thank you so very much. Good to hear from you.
You too. Bye.
Let's go on up to Diane in North Fort Myers.
Hi,
Diane.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I wanted to call. What you're saying is true about on the face, the division in this country. People need to go back and look at Martin Luther and his life, and what was before he took separation of the church. Because before then, the church ran everything, and that is exactly what these Jerry Falwells and then that, you know, they're trying to bring out a religious McCarthyism in this country again. And you know, if you're with them, fine. If not, then you know, you're nothing, and they'll ruin you. I mean, it's gotten where they're burning books in Alabama, banning books in the libraries, anything written by a homosexual. You know, it's gotten that bad in this
country. Yeah, where was it, in Alabama they were trying to?
Yes, they have. They've taken it out of schools, out of the libraries, even William Shakespeare. I mean, this has gotten way over the line. And, I mean, America needs to wake up. They need to look at the rise and fall of the Third Reich again. And instead of waving a flag, they need to get educated. Instead of sitting there dribbling drool down their chin watching American Idol. You know, this is what this country has come down to. On the intellectual sense.
Well, those not schooled in history are doomed to repeat it.
And this with the war crime, I call him Shrub, you call him Junior. Shrub Bush, having all of this planned back in 2000, they've got the proof down. Now they're trying to take over the UN, defame the UN, because who else could go after them for war crimes?
Oh, exactly right.
So they're trying to face them and The Hague.
Yes.
And that's so that they can cover their own butts.
Well, yeah, if you got all the marbles, you got control of the game.
And they want to own the judges, too, so that they can cover all their butts.
Sure. That's the game.
They're crooks.
And I read someplace that the four Christian law schools founded by Falwell and Pat Robertson and a couple other, I can't think of right now, they're cranking out 600 lawyers a year. And they have the goal to change policy, become judges, and write law based on Christian belief.
Well, they're so crooked, they've got to do everything they can to cover their trail. They cannot have one honest person in there that isn't one of their little Joseph McCarthy gang, because I'm telling you now, they don't want none of this brought out, and they don't want to have anybody left that can point the finger at them. They're real good at what they do.
Thanks for your call, Diane.
All right, Guy.
Very good to hear from you. We'll be back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics. Stay tuned.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. whatever you need, whatever you want is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Hey, how you doing? Educational videos, top quality, right here.
You'll never hear anyone selling education on the street.
Yo, what's up, baby? Want to learn some history?
I got live learning, beautiful books inside.
And don't expect anyone to just offer you an education.
Who needs a high school diploma, huh?
Unfortunately, you can't buy a diploma from some guy with a briefcase. But there is one way you can get the educational skills you and your family need for free, with free family learning programs. Call 1-877-FAMLIT1 for information on free GED, computer training classes, and other family learning programs. That's 1-877-FAMLIT1.
Check it out, check it out. Win your GED right here, guaranteed, ma. Come on, check it out.
After all, you can't get your education on the street. Free family learning programs from the National Center for Family Literacy. The first step to a better life. Brought to you by the National Center for Family Literacy and the Ad Council.
Honey, can you pour me some water?
Yeah, sure.
This year, United Way helped provide over 29,627 prescriptions for the uninsured and gravely ill in Wichita. And it doesn't matter. We called upon 65 pharmacies, 100 social services, and 604 volunteer physicians. And it doesn't matter. Together, we helped over 1,623 patients cope with pneumonia, hepatitis, even cancer. And it still doesn't matter. The number of pills and programs doesn't really matter. What matters is each new day they make possible.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Your United Way investment, magnified by others who invest the United Way, has the real power to bring about the results that matter where you live. What matters? United Way.
This is today's tip for parents from the Parent Institute. I'm Dr. John Weary. Telling children they need to respect rules, authority, and other people is important, but it won't make a dent if parents aren't good role models of respect themselves. So how well do you model respect for your children? Do you respect the laws by wearing your seatbelt and obeying the speed limit? Do you speak respectfully about teachers, police officers, and others in authority? Are you courteous and polite to others, accepting people's differences and beliefs that aren't your own? Do you show respect to your own parents, speaking to them politely, celebrating birthdays, and helping them? Do you talk about and try to live by the golden rule? And do you openly demonstrate moral reasoning, letting children hear you think aloud about what's the right thing to do? For more information on building respect, visit the Parent Institute website at radio.parentinstitute.com.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hello, everybody, and coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of gorgeous Fort Myers, Florida, and Naples, Florida, too. We're so glad to have you along with us this evening. Much to talk about this evening. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. If you're local, 479-5540 and 263-6570 in Collier County. How many of you saw Bush's speech up in Latvia today? I just want to say one thing about it. I'm not going to belabor the point, but I thank God Almighty that George Bush was not the president at the end of the Second World War, because what he said today, I think, are the words of a lunatic. Hate to say that about the president of the United States, but, you know, every time Bush pulls a new colossal mistake in something he said, I think he's reached the peak of his incompetence. And I should have learned by now that there are no bounds to this man's sheer idiocy when he goes out and talks in public. This speech he gave today in Latvia has probably insulted more people all at once than any other statement made by anyone in the history of the world. You know, if he wrote that speech, he's an idiot. If he didn't write the speech and delivered it anyway, he's an idiot. If he doesn't understand what his words mean, he's an idiot. And if he does understand what they meant and gave the speech anyway, he's an idiot in that instance as well. No matter how you cut it, that speech was given by an idiot. To stand before the public in another nation and insult the Allied forces of so many nations during World War II is something only George W. Bush would do. To insult our own country's armed forces and the thousands of Americans who died to preserve freedom in Europe is pure lunacy. You know, he's blaming everything at what happened in the post-war with the Russians and the Koreans, and blaming it all on the leadership at that time, alluding to the fact we think we should have taken Russia out at the time, and we wouldn't have had all this long, protracted, expensive Cold War. You know, we were war-weary. We just finished defeating the Nazis and the Japanese, and Bush thinks we should have taken on the Russians when we were through with the Axis powers. Oh, tell me he didn't say that. I don't know how much he knows about history, but the Russians were just getting their second wind when they helped defeat the Nazis and came into Berlin. They just then got their war machine really going. And he's implying that maybe we should have... Oh. Tell me he isn't crazy enough to believe that we should have turned right around and attacked the Russians after the Germans surrendered. Tell me he's not that crazy. I would like to believe that he's not that crazy. Hey, I want to take a quick moment and thank some special people. I'm going to do this every week. And I just thought I'd start off this week. I want to thank some people for supporting the Guy James Show, our most loyal supporters. And I'm going to talk about some most loyal supporters each and every week. Elaine and Virginia Miller of Newton, Iowa. I tell you. Elaine and Virginia Miller of Newton, Iowa, we thank you. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support of this program. And Chris Kern of Hudson, Florida. Chris, you warm my heart. And Bill Bennett of Fort Myers, Florida, right here locally, sends a money order every single month, just like clockwork. Bill, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Thanks to those folks. And we'll talk about some of our good listeners every week from now on. We need to do that. We owe them a lot. And we're so glad they listen to the program. Very, very pleased they listen to the program. Let's go to Dave up in Eureka. I found it, California.
Yes, indeed. Well, Guy, I agree with everything that you voice every week and more so, really. We've all wondered, I certainly have, how could we have in a democracy an administration that is so unconcerned about how much harm they inflict on the people? And, you know, I've taken it further now. I think as I've been asking that question, it's worse than that. There is a generalized anger about our White House, our president, our vice president. They are angry with the people of the world, certainly of America. The primary reason they're angry is they thought they had been clever enough and devious enough that they actually would have won the election. They're angry that they had to rely so heavily on the mechanics, the voting machines, to get themselves in, that they had been beaten badly, and they've been beaten badly. They know that they've got the rest of the world saying, America, how could you be so stupid? You know, and if he had run for president of the world, he would have lost by a landslide unless he had the voting machines all over the world.
Well, you know, Dave, you know how many years that we've sent election advisors and people to watch elections in other countries around the world, and how Americans have always looked at elections, bogus elections around the world. And we're sitting here thinking, oh, no, that didn't happen to us. Oh, no, that could never happen here. Oh, please.
Well, it's become my main issue. Your guy right there, Tom Penny, he's the one that originally contracted to have these machines designed so that they could rig the vote. It no longer matters if you're voting on a voting machine how you voted. The machines will decide how you should have voted. And they still have the damn things.
Yeah, who was it, Lenin or Stalin said it's not who votes, it's who counts the votes?
That's right. It doesn't matter how they vote, it's who counts the votes. And that's indeed what we're up against, huh? I don't know if you got people out there that can think of a way, you know, because I think most people just really aren't aware of how badly we have been defrauded by these group of criminals. They should not be in the White House. They should all be in prison.
Well, Dave, you know, people, you know, what you just said, and you and I agree on this black box voting issue. We agree on that. But people look at you and they go, well, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't stoop to that. What haven't they stooped to so far?
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Would they not get us into a war that has, like, a country that did nothing to merit us attacking them? Would they not set up a justification for doing that? But they not plan for a dozen years how they're going to get the people to support their invasion. These guys are criminals of the worst kind, and they are out to do this country a world of hurt. There are some people that believe them to a point, I think, that only when this country becomes a true banana republic, you know, a theocratic banana republic, where we're being denied access to Mexico because too many Americans are trying to escape into Mexico to earn a little money. Maybe they'll start thinking, maybe I got on the wrong side at some place. But they're not getting there quickly.
No, we can only hope that that we hold out long enough to resist this. And, you know, they're very, very powerful. Very powerful.
The people are getting smarter and things are getting out. But Lord help us. It's...
But, you know, Dave, I know that you keep up on things, as I do, as current events. We had this bombshell drop Monday and Tuesday about this memo from Great Britain. And what did you hear about it in the American press?
Nothing. It's all over the front page of Europe.
Yeah, nothing here. Nothing.
I understand a few papers got it, a few, but it's not a free press.
No.
Today, C-SPAN had David Ray Griffith, if you know who he is.
Yes.
And I think that was the first breakthrough, because all of the media is told you don't say a damn word about 9/11.
Yeah, yeah.
And they caved into it. Thank you so much for being there, dear brother.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much. And, Dave, thanks for all the good articles you send me. I do appreciate that.
Oh, great. You catch me. Not all of my emails get through, but...
I read them all.
Okay.
I read them all. Thank you, Dave.
Again.
And I do read all of your email. I do. I get some fantastic email from our listeners from just all over the place, and some of them agree with me, some of them don't. Some of our right-wing friends really don't. Someone asked me earlier if we're going to have any Republican love this week, and I said, well, I would like to, but if I did, the FCC, if I read the letters to you, the FCC would hear about it, and we wouldn't be on the air anymore if I read the letters verbatim. I'll tell you what, these compassionate, conservative, Christian, moral value Republicans can write some humdinger of letters, I'll tell you. I don't know where they learned that stuff, but they certainly didn't learn it in any Sunday school that I'm aware of. Oh, they must be, it must be some of these folks that go to church and good church-going people on Sunday and Wednesday night and the rest of the week. Yahoo! You know, I think that's what we've run into there. Let's go to John in Fort Myers. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. And, golly, I should scold you because I was listening to you last week and you made me miss the beginning of the Foreign Correspondents' Mutual Aberration and Incestuous Relationship Dinner in Washington last week.
You nailed it, buddy.
Well, you know, that dinner was really something because I did get to catch the president's wife making fun of him. And, you know, I had a friend one time that was going to roast their minister because he was leaving. And he says, and I'm really going to nail him. And I said, well, what do you mean? And it turns out that roasts are to say things that you want to say, but you couldn't normally do it if you didn't have that format.
Yes.
So I just wonder how upset the president's wife is with him, especially when she says he milked a cow that turned out to be a male horse.
Yeah.
Now, my wife would never say anything like that in front of a group of people about me. So you just wonder, how decadent are they beginning to get up in that place up there?
I'm as broad-minded and liberal as people can get when it comes to entertainment and jokes and everything else. But I got to tell you, I found that remark by the First Lady of the United States highly offensive.
Exactly. On the war, I listened to a lot of foreign radio, as you know. There were bodies sent home to the Fiji Islands. These were two guards or special agents or something, I don't know what they termed them, but it turned out that one of the bodies was not from Fiji, it was from the United States. So they sent an American's body to the wrong place in this war. Didn't hear anything about that on the news. But you do hear it on foreign radio, just like the last man said. A lot of these things we hear from other countries, but we just don't get them on our news here. I listened to China Radio a couple weeks ago, and I heard them sending their ambassador of state, I suppose this would be equivalent to Condoleezza Rice, around. They named the countries they were going to, and it turns out they're all oil countries. And they said they were sending him around to negotiate, or make better relations, which I term as negotiating for oil. And what does Condoleezza Rice do? Runs around the country, the world, trying to change countries into democracies. And your friend that just called a little bit ago was mentioning democracy, and I looked these words up in the dictionary, and I think I cited this, so I'm not going to go down the same road again, but I invite everybody to read their dictionaries and find out what republics are, democracies, fascism, all these different forms of government. And we don't have democracy here, and we don't have democracy anywhere that I can figure based on the definition. And the definition is a government in which the people hold the supreme power. And I've witnessed in my community this week, a lady's daughter came back from Iraq. She's on two-week leave. The mother puts yellow ribbons down the median of the road and the side of the road to the house to welcome her home. Code enforcement comes along and pulls these out.
Yes.
A guy on Cape Coral, same place, puts shell in his yard, decorates his yard very well. It's a beautiful place. I saw it on TV. Code enforcement comes along and says, you got to plant grass. We don't allow you to do anything here but plant grass. You got to live by our rule here, buddy. So this man's going to have to rip this out, and it's conserving water by what he's put in. But no, you got to have grass. You got to have a sprinkler system. That's not democracy. If we had democracy, this lady could have put those ribbons out with no trouble, and this man could have the yard he wants with no trouble. So when people say we have a democracy here, we do not have a democracy. And you don't pledge allegiance to a democracy here. You pledge it to a republic.
That's right.
So there you go. And I'm done venting, and I really appreciate your show. Thank you.
John, thanks for calling. A good call as always.
All righty. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, he's right. We are a representative republic, and we do need to know that, and we do need to have our high school students learn that. And did you hear Vladimir? Or no, not it wasn't Vladimir Putin. Yeah, it was Vladimir Putin. Talking Bush was bragging over and over about all the wonderful things they've done for Iraq. And Vladimir Putin had to tell the President of the United States, well, at least say through the press for the edification of the President of the United States, that you can't export democracy. And, buddy, you might be an OX-KGB Russian, but you hit the nail on the head with that one. You cannot export democracy. I would think a President of the United States would know that. Let's go talk to John in Naples. Hi, John.
Yeah, hi, Guy. Bush has done it again. He's on his trip to the Balkan countries to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the VJ Day, or VE Day, only because if he went to France or Germany, Germany was our enemy. France was supposedly an ally. England was an ally. So if he went to those countries, there'd be such demonstrations he couldn't go.
That's right.
So he had to go where he could go, and now he's got his foot in his mouth, like you pointed out with the speech he made over there, because it just doesn't add up. Anybody had said 10 years ago the President of the United States was going to go for the 60th anniversary of the VE Day to the Balkans and try and start up the Cold War again, which is what his speech is going to end up doing, you never would have believed it. The man is unbelievable.
Oh, John, you are so right. I mean, I was aghast when I heard that speech today.
I just can't understand why, our newest people don't just, question what is he doing there. I mean, we never had a president who couldn't go to France or England or Italy, even Ireland. The last time he went to Ireland, he got booed.
He's a pariah. I don't care where he goes.
And these people, I guess they love God. I hope so. I hope they got something going for them, but they just keep voting for it.
Well, you know, they made much of the fact that now the Prime Minister of Australia and the Prime Minister of Great Britain, both their parties got reelected, and thus they stood there.
Bush got reelected.
Yeah, all three of them got, but take a look at the margin in Great Britain. The Labour Party lost a ton
the thing
of...
Is, it's just unbelievable. How are they getting away with it?
Yeah.
Our news people just are not doing their job.
It's that powerful liberal media, John.
The liberal media, that's the biggest fallacy of the whole world.
Sure is.
That's like saying Rush Limbaugh, is sober and liberal.
That's right. That's right. That's right. John, thanks for your call.
Okay, thank
you. Good to hear from you.
Good night.
And talking about that liberal media, I can count the times that I've heard the phrase liberal media this past week. I can't count them all, really. Over and over and over again. I don't care what show you go to, if they've got right-wing guests on there, they start off by parroting the liberal media, New York Times. My God, does the whole country read the New York Times? I was at the gym the other day. Now, I hate to admit this. I don't hate to admit that I was at the gym. Yours truly has been working out, I'll have you know. Trying to get buff here and all that kind of stuff. Got a ways to go, but we'll get there. Anyway, I digress. I like going to the gym. But, you know, if you've been to any of the gyms, they got TV sets hanging up near all over the place. And so I'm on the treadmill the other day, and I'm stuck right in front of them, and I don't have the remote, and one of them with Fox News on. So I was on the treadmill for an hour and 15 minutes, and I had to watch Fox News for an hour and 15 minutes. I tell you, when that was over with, I felt dirty. I watched Fox News for an hour and 15 minutes, and the stories that they told about what was happening in the world in no way resembled what actually happened. Fair and balanced? Oh, you know, they come across and say, well, let's talk about the John Bolton nomination, for example. Just an example. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to have a fair and balanced discussion about it. They'll bring three right-wingers and one Democrat in and just gang up on him and beat him to death over this and not let him talk. That's their idea of fair and balanced. Fox News, fair and balanced? Whew! Man, I got to tell you. But, you know, you hear that term... liberal media just all the time, and of course it was being trumpeted from all the right-wing media types, liberal media, and they yell that to millions of listeners. And I ask this again, you've heard me say this over and over and over again, but after this past week, oh, please, what liberal media? We had this bombshell. My God, this was a political bombshell, this memo, this British memo talking about how they orchestrated this war. You know, if there were, in fact, a liberal media, don't you think they would have been screaming all week long about this latest expose about Bush lying to start the Iraqi war? Don't you think so? I'll bet you go out on the street now, 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, maybe all 10 you might find, don't know a thing about this bombshell that was dropped. Wouldn't the discovery of the secret British memo, which absolutely proves... without any question, that Bush lied through his teeth about the danger posed by Hussein. Wouldn't that have merited front page news and the opening of every newscast? That is, if there were in fact a viable liberal media, it does not exist. All week long, think about this. All week long, we were inundated with more stories of the runaway bride. And by the way, you heard the latest of why she ran away. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. And we heard about the Michael Jackson trial. You know, Hannity is the worst media whore of them all. He goes and does his show from in front of the bride's home one night this week. Yeah. And then says, I hope these people can get the privacy they deserve. And he's sitting out in front of their house doing a show from there. Just like he did with the Schiavo thing. You know, he ignored the story from Great Britain. Totally ignored it, but there he was in front of the bride's house. Fair and balanced. You know, we heard all about the alleged cheating on American Idol as though it was some kind of a critical story that had to be told. But did we hear about the proof of Bush's lies about the war? No. We had Dick Cheney saying what many consider to be the most outrageous statement. I'm going to talk about that at the top of the hour. The most outrageous statement ever uttered by a politician, and we hear practically nothing about it on the news from the so-called liberal media. In fact, I did hear nothing about it all week. 1,600 Americans killed. I think it's up to 1,594. And perhaps 100,000 or more Iraqis killed in this war. And it's all on the basis of a lie. And the press says almost nothing. Almost nothing. That's sure some leftist media, all right. Man, they are flexing their muscles. You know, Laura Bush's jokes shown on TV over and over and over again, but any mention of her husband's lies, which took us into the war, again, the answer is no, no, no. Liberal media, don't insult me. Liberal media. Again, in case you haven't heard me say it, and I know a lot of you are tired of hearing me say it, in this very area right here, 200 hours of right-wing programming week, three from the Democratic liberal side. Three. That's why they don't want this show on the air during weekdays. That's exactly why. They're afraid people might get a dose of the truth. The truth will set you free, and that's what this show is all about. And they're afraid you will get a dose of the truth. That's what this is all about. That's why you don't hear it. You think this isn't a vast right conspiracy in the media with the Richard Mellencamps and those people? Think again. Think again. The corporate masters own the media, lock, stock, and barrel, and then the only thing that matters is the bottom line. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Don't forget that. They choose news on popularity now, not what's really news. Well, anyway, we'll be back with a whole lot more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics. Stay tuned.
Restoring the liberal media. The Guy James Show. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. WINK Fort Myers, WNOG Naples, AM 1240 and 1270. Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Adam Smith. President Bush will spend VE Day in the Netherlands.
They got a warm welcome at the airport, but thousands of anti-war demonstrators. Tomorrow, the president goes to a World War II cemetery in the Netherlands where 8,300 U.S. servicemen are buried.
Fox's Steve Sintani. The Atlanta child murders gripped the nation a quarter century ago, 29 dead. Wayne Williams was jailed for two of them and suspected of the rest. Now the DeKalb County police chief is reopening the investigation.
The police chief says he believes Williams has nothing to do with these slayings.
I don't think Wayne Williams is responsible for anything. I made my mind up with that over 20 years ago, and I still feel that way.
So the police chief getting to the bottom of this, saying that he wants answers that are long overdue.
Fox's Julie Banderas in a 50-1 long shot. Giacomo wins the Kentucky Derby. Fox News, we report, you decide.
If you're looking to spend $25,000 to $30,000 for a big new four-door F-150 or Silverado extended cab pickup, wrong commercial. But if you want that all-new Titanic, powerful V8 Titan King Cab XE, $18,488, that's all you pay. If you find your way to Sutherland Nissan today. I'm dead serious. Your big bad bodacious V8 four-door Titan King Cab, $18,488. Are you kidding me? Stereo, CD, automatic, and air. Great stuff everywhere. $18,488. Lehigh Acres, are you listening? Naples, Venice, I'm talking to you. For months I've been saying, this is the real steal-a-truck deal, and it's waiting for you right now, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41, south of Bell Tower Shops on Tammy Yammy Trail. Motor new Titan V8 four-door King Cab XE. As little as $18,488 at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
VIN 524-97 and 519-889. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock, prep, and emission fees.
This is a wrench. This is a wrench and a can of beans. This is a wrench, some canned goods, and a flashlight. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, and a gallon of water. This is a wrench, some canned goods, a flashlight, a gallon of water, batteries, blankets, duct tape, can opener, first aid kit, radio, 3-day supply of medications, playing cards, a local map, and some extra cash. When we bring all these things together, we have a disaster supplies kit, also known as peace of mind for you and your family. With a list from your local Red Cross, you can assemble all the supplies you need to prepare your home and family for an emergency or disaster. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To assemble your own kit, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
You've probably heard it before. After the end of a relationship, a kindly friend will offer those famous words of support. There are plenty of fish in the sea. Well, that kindly friend is wrong.
30 seconds to the opening.
And unlike other things, there's actually something you can do about it. Simply log on to GetGreen.com to learn how making the right seafood choices can help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. It's easy to do. And now that you're single and lonely, you've got the time. That's GetGreen.com. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
There's no government document more important than this. Because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all Americans' voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show.
America's number one democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
We're back, and I'm counting on you. I'm counting on you to pick up the phone and comment on some things we said and going to say on this program. Talk show, you know. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502. 7503 and 7504. 479-5540 here locally. 263-6570 in Collier County for you folks way down south. So glad to have you all along with us tonight. To all the folks at Democratic Underground, we've got a thread going on the discussion forum at Democratic Underground. If you want to join in, please do. We're going to try and make that a little more interactive pretty soon. We're going to have our associate producer here try and keep a dialogue going back and forth, and it's good to hear what you have to say during the program. And, you know, lots of times, being the forgetful person that I am, I'll be sitting here and thinking, boom, up it comes on the thread. There's always some brains available on Democratic Underground and Democrats.com, too, and Smirking Chimp and Buzz Flash and all of our favorite websites. And speaking of websites, before I go any further, WhiteRoseSociety.org. WhiteRoseSociety.org. Just like I said, all the archives of the Guy James Show there. You can get Randy Roach, Mike Malloy, the Guy James Show, Tom Hartman, all the good ones on the White Rose Society. Go there and download all the shows you want on your iPod and listen to them all week long. That's your one way to get liberal programming all week long. You can just load that iPod up with nothing but liberal talk, and you'll have just truth all week long. See? I got it all figured out for you. Well, I said I was going to talk about this, and the problem is here for me, as you know, And I won't apologize for it, but as all my listeners know, I have a little bit of a problem sometimes with... I get angry. Yeah, I do. And not so much that I need to go for any anger management or anything like that, but once in a while, I blow my cool. And so I'm going to try and get through this next little segment of the program without blowing my cool. But I got actually two things to talk about tonight that threatens to blow my cool. But how many of you heard, well, I got to get the name here. I want to give them all the credit they deserve. How many of you heard about the East Waynesville Baptist Church in North Carolina this past week? Did you hear about that, Ron? The East Waynesville Baptist Church in North Carolina. It seems that the controversy at this church reached a high point on Monday night. I'm going to quote this from a source here. Don't even know the source. When the pastor invited all church members to a deacon's meeting. Lowe said at the beginning of the meeting, the pastor said anyone who didn't agree with his political views should leave. Lowe said that he and his wife, Thelma, and seven others left, and the pastor then called the church into conference and congregation that voted to terminate the membership of those who left. They excommunicated people because of their political views in a Baptist church. And it just so happened that they were all Democrats that got thrown out of this church. People had gone to this church for 40 years, some of them before this pastor was even born. This is not some little shack of a church like you see sometimes in the South where, you know, they make a church out of most any little building, and more power to people that do that. Some of the most holy places are little churches in the wildwood with no stained glass windows and wooden pews and the moss hanging on the trees outside and not a paved parking lot. That's right. The Spirit comes to places like that just as much as they'll come to a huge cathedral. I don't know where that came from, but that's how I feel about it. I've always felt that way about it. So they threw these people out, and they have this nice big Baptist church there, and it's a big, nice, brick, beautiful building with a steeple and all that. I learned a long time ago that just because a building houses a cross and some Bibles, that doesn't make it a church. No, sir. The people inside of it make a church. And so they threw these Democrats out of this church. Democrats in church. You're kidding, right? Actual Democrats in a Baptist church in North Carolina. Shoot, I didn't even know there were any Democrats in North Carolina, let alone Democrat Christians. Is there any such thing? Democrats in church? You wouldn't think so, would you, from hearing the media? You know, that lunatic minister in North Carolina, I tried calling him, by the way, and I was going to try and get him to come on the show, but I just never could get through to him. It seems a whole lot of other folks are trying to call him, and nobody got through to him. But he's the perfect example. That and him and his elders and deacons, they're a perfect example of what the right wing would do if they had their way. And believe me, they are close to having their way. And as bizarre as this act seems, I think it was nothing more than a test to see if they could get away with it. And if they do, there'll be more such cases. How long before the Southern Baptist Convention excommunicates all Democrats from their churches? And if the Baptists do it, why not the Pentecostals? And if the Pentecostals do it, then why not the Nazarene and the Churches of God and the Four Square Gospel Churches and the Assemblies of God Churches? They'll all want to kick out those godless Democrats, wouldn't they? And if the Democrats get kicked out of the churches, how about the schools? How about the schools? Should the children of Democrats be allowed to go to school with kids whose parents go to churches that throw out the Democrats? Certainly they don't want those Democratic kids going to the schools. Should Democrats be allowed to have library cards? Should they be admitted to universities? After all, with Republicans in control of all branches of government, shouldn't the Democrats be purged from all public activities? Will restaurants and hotels have to serve them? Or will there be eateries and inns designated especially for Democrats? And don't forget about the water fountains. And maybe the Republicans will force the Democrats to wear some sort of nifty insignia on their outer garments to identify them as Democrats, so that the Republicans wouldn't have to accidentally associate with them. Maybe something like a star sewn onto their... No, not a star. That's been used before. How about a donkey? Just sew a donkey on your coat. Yeah. Or better yet, why not wall off part of the town so the Democrats would have to stay in their own neighborhoods and not defile the cities with their presence? Hmm? That would be a good idea. Yeah, some of what I mentioned here might seem a little extreme to some of you, but in another country, a few decades ago, nobody thought it would happen there either. And they were wrong. And they paid a horrible price for it. And so did millions and millions and millions of other people pay a horrible price for it. And we cannot allow something like that to go on in this country. Never. That can happen in other places of the world. It has happened, and it will continue to happen in other places of the world. That cannot stand in the United States of America. It cannot. And something, somebody, all of us, those of you listening to my voice right now, we've got to put our foot down and say no more. No more of this. No more of this insanity. Churches kicking people out because of their politics. What's it coming to? Is there that much hate? Is there really that much hate? I don't hate those Baptists for doing that. I look at them as pretty doggone ignorant. And I'd like to have the chance to talk to them. And I'd like to have the chance to find out what on earth were they thinking. But that's just the start. That is just the start. And we cannot allow seeds like that to be planted in this country and nurtured and brought to fruition in the United States of America. Are we different here in this country? Yes, we're above that. I like to think we're above that. Republicans need to know that God loves Democrats too. You wouldn't think so, would you, from hearing all the liberal media? Oh, I tell you, this thing this week with that church, I heard that, and I thought, well, this is a joke. This is a joke. This didn't happen. I thought, well, somebody posted this on the internet, and it's just a joke. Little thing. People do that from time to time. Thought, well, you know, they get some attention from it, have a little fun. Not a joke. Not a joke. Makes me feel bad. It really does make me feel bad. I wonder why I haven't gotten any calls this week from any of our Republican friends talking about this memo I'm holding in my hand here right now about how Mr. Bush and his administration fixed the facts about going to war in Iraq. We had a gentleman last week. See, I was telling him about the intelligence being massaged. He said, well, you don't have any proof of that. You don't have any proof of that. Well, you know, we personally on this program talked to Ray McGovern, and we told him that, and that didn't faze him. Ray McGovern didn't know what he talked about. I only worked for the CIA for, 30 years. We had Scott Ritter on this program a couple of times, weapons inspector from that served over in Iraq, a Republican, by the way. Oh, yes, a Republican. And he said there were no weapons there, and that's before we attacked Iraq. He said there were no weapons there. And he said everybody in that detail knew there were no weapons there. And we heard from Mohammed al-Baradei, the atomic weapons group there from the UN that was inspecting there. And, of course, they said there weren't any weapons there either. But somehow the intelligence from the United States and Great Britain said otherwise. And here we have the facts as to why it said otherwise, because they made it say otherwise. They just, as the British said, the British newspaper said, sexed it up a little bit. That's what they did. My, 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 my. But we don't hear anything from the press about this. Almost nothing. Have any of you heard much about it on the mainstream media? I know all over the blogs on the internet you've heard a lot about it. All the blogs I go to, it's been there. It's been discussed ad nauseum over and over and over again. I think we know all the facts about it now. We know everybody's opinions on it. And yet, We don't see it on the mainstream media. And something tells me we're not going to see it on the mainstream media. Because the mainstream media is owned lock, stock, and barrel. Lock, stock, and barrel by big business. And big business isn't going to betray Mr. Bush. No way, no how. It distresses me that this came out this week and is being ignored. But you know what they're all going to say? Well, so what if he lied about it? So what? They're still better off over there, aren't they? That's right, they're still better off. You know, we're not going to let the printed press off. There wasn't anything about it in there either. No headlines anyplace. I would think that'd be the biggest headlines that a newspaper could come up with for a long, long time, since 9/11. The biggest headlines should have been, in big, tall print, President of the United States lies to take us to war in Iraq. And here's the proof. Here's the smoking gun right here. Have you read it? Please do. There's a lot of places you can go find it. And if you want to find out just how the media operates in this country and how they ignore real stories, just go take a look at that. It's really terrible. I'd like to remind our listeners of something that they might have forgotten, speaking about this whole mess, about the Iraq War and leading up to when it started. If you think back to the period, and those of you that have been with this program since we started, if you think back to the period leading up to the Iraq War, you'll remember that this program railed against the proposed war because the case hadn't been made that Iraq was any kind of danger at all to the United States. The Israelis didn't think, the Israelis scoffed at that idea, that they were any kind of a threat. They weren't a threat to Israel whatsoever. And, you know, Bush and his gang were constantly crowing about the existence of the weapons of mass destruction, chemical, biological, and nuclear weapons in the hand of Hussein. You know, we had several experts on the program who said Bush's claims were bogus, and I just mentioned them. But one right-winger after another called the show and wrote emails claiming that our experts didn't know what they're talking about. They claimed that Scott Ritter and Ray McGovern and others didn't know the truth. The weapons are there, they claimed. Oh, yeah, they're there. We'll find them. Remember that? You remember that? With all the calls we got? Don't you worry. We'll find them. Yeah, we haven't had enough time yet, but we'll find them, by golly. Let's see. How many of Bush's own inspectors came home and said, hey, man, they're not there. They're not there. And the latest one of Bush's inspectors came home and said, not only were they not there now, they weren't there for a long, 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 long time. Everything that you, all the intelligence you got about this was cooked or lies or whatever. But, and my favorite line, and we heard this one over and over and over again, especially from a couple callers down in Naples, were real, real proud of their being so intellectually astute. You know, they knew. Nobody else knew. Ritter and Alberide and all the people over there didn't know the truth. But these guys, a couple of guys, right-wing callers from Naples, they knew the truth. Those weapons were moved over to Syria. Yes, they were in Syria. Brilliant. We've figured it out. In the middle of the night, when the satellites couldn't see what was going on, never mind that the satellites could see what was going on at night, but in the middle of the night, they loaded those babies on trucks and they drove them over to Syria. Yeah. Under cover of darkness. And so Syria had all those weapons stored over there. Had them buried out in the desert. And, you know, some people with double garages had a missile in them. They spread them around, and they were in Syria. Boy, wasn't that a brilliant one? They all said, we will find them. Don't you worry. We'll find them. And so literally all of Bush's people that were over there have come home now and said they're not in Syria. They didn't have them at all. And so the right-wing Bush propaganda was so pervasive and convincing that the poll showed, and think about this, it's hard to look back at these numbers, but 75% of Americans supported the invasion of Iraq. 75%. And you remember what happened concerning those of us who disagreed with that decision to go to Iraq? We were called unpatriotic, commies, stupid, traitors, treasonous, seditionist. Those are all the names we enjoyed hearing about ourselves during that time because we didn't agree with the 75%. Now, I'm not usually one of those people that says, I told you so, guys, but in this case, I can't resist it. I cannot resist it. The polls now show that 57% of Americans think the war wasn't worth it. It was not worth it. And an even higher number believe Bush lied to get us in the war in the first place. And so it begs the question, are those 57% of Americans unpatriotic? Commies? Stupid? Traitors? Seditionists? Are they? Over half the people in the United States? Are they all those things? And I might add that since the number is at 57%, there must be a sizable number of Bush people who don't believe the war was worth it either. That's how the numbers come out, folks. I didn't make them. The question now becomes what to do about it. Do we cut our losses and leave now? Or do we stay and finish the job, like some of them say? Like we owe something over there. That is, if the job can be finished. Somebody better think about that one in the first place and figure that out. Can that job be finished? Can we make that place a democracy in our own image? I wouldn't put it in our own image if they're going to ship those black box voting machines over there. But I'll say what I'll say right now. I've got a bumper sticker on the back of my car that says, support our troops, bring them home now. Now. That hellhole isn't worth one more American life. What do you think? I'd like to hear from you. I really would. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We'll be back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics. Stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Whatever you need, whatever you want, is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Dear Beth, I have so much to say to you, and this seems the only way to do it. Maybe you can check your email from heaven. You probably don't remember me, but my name is Stacy. I was behind you the other night, and I stopped when I saw the smoke. At first, I couldn't move, but then I found a strength I didn't know I had. I reached into the broken window, touched your wrist, and found a faint pulse. You weren't breathing. As I touched your neck, your head moved, and you gasped softly for air. Thank God, I thought. She's alive. There's a chance. I was holding her head in my hands and softly stroking her hair and had a million things spinning in my head. God, she's just a young girl, I thought. You opened your eyes for merely moments. I'm here with you. I'm not leaving you. Help is on the way. Then your eyes closed. Come on, fight, I said. And I knew you were trying.
But Beth Hoiney did not survive her encounter with a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Now is a good time to make sure your vehicle is in good repair before harsher weather sets in. But if car care isn't your thing, you'll need to find a good shop. Here's advice on choosing a repair facility from the National Institute for Automotive Service Excellence, the group that tests and certifies automotive technicians. Start shopping for a repair facility before you need one. Ask your friends and associates for their recommendations. Look for a neat, well-organized facility with vehicles in the parking lot equal in value to your own and modern equipment in the service bays. Look for a courteous staff with a service consultant willing to answer all your questions. Look for policies regarding estimated repair costs, diagnostic fees, guarantees, and acceptable methods of payment. Ask if the repair facility specializes or if it usually handles your type of repair work. And look for the blue and white ASE sign. For more car repair tips and other information, visit www.ase.com.
Mom was having such a hard time taking care of Dad, and herself too. Now they're getting help through the National Family Caregiver Support Program with things like meals, cleaning, helping to make their home safe, and finding a companion for Dad to give Mom a break. To find help near you, call the Elder Care Locator at 1-800-677-1116 or visit eldercare.gov. Brought to you by the Administration on Aging, U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, I apologize for that. I had some dead air there. Don't hear that on the Limbaugh show, do you? Or the Hannity show or anybody? No. You don't hear that then. I apologize. It's not supposed to happen. Well, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. I would like to have us give us a call if you'd like to talk about anything we've talked about tonight. I would like to hear your opinion on it. I really, really would. I mentioned earlier that we were going to talk about something Mr. Cheney said that I think was probably the most egregious, the most offensive statement that I've ever heard a public official say in these United States since I've been old enough to realize what's going on. Am I being too sensitive about this? I don't think so, considering the political climate we have in this country right now. And considering what I said earlier about the fanning the flames of divisiveness in this country. Here we have a president who promised the nation that he'd change the tone in Washington. He did promise to do that. Remember the old "I'm a uniter, not a divider" line? He used it over and over and over again in his first campaign. He didn't mention it in the second campaign, did he? No. And yet we're still looking for evidence, just one shred of evidence that would show that he's tried even one little bit to change the tone in Washington. Please, if I'm missing out on something, if I haven't kept track of it, what has he done? Anything at all to change the tone in Washington? Uniter, he is without question the most divisive political figure in American history. I don't think there's any question about that. And this latest slick, sick, diabolical, demented campaign of the Bush administration calling Democrats the other faith. The other faith. You think about that for a moment. The other faith is way over the line of decency. The other faith. How could any American, let alone the second in command, even dare think about using that phrase? Was it an accident that Mr. Cheney called these opposed to his policies the other faith? Absolutely not. You better believe that it's a well-thought-out plan coming from one of the dozens of right-wing think tanks. It sounded like something coming straight out of the Heritage Foundation. I know people cringe when comparisons to Hitler's Third Reich come up, but what else comes to mind when you hear a statement from the Vice President of the United States calling those who disagree with him the other faith? In Germany in the 1930s, the Jews were the other faith. Hitler made the Jews the boogeyman so that he could use them to unite his party with hatred and venom against those who disagreed with him. Now it's anyone who disagrees with the Bush administration on anything, they're the boogeyman now. I doubt that in all of American history, any responsible leader ever uttered such a vile, contemptible, downright evil statement, and I mean that evil Oh, I'm waiting for the office of the vice president to come out and say, oh, he didn't mean it that way. But then he doesn't have to answer to the press, so they might even not have to go that far. No, in the mindset of this administration, it would be a tremendous stretch to think that he said it for any other reason than to solidify his base of radical fringe fundamentalists, evangelicals, the Dobsons, the Falwells, and the Robinsons, who are doing their best to call the shots right now. And guess what? They're getting away with it. And Cheney's statement is aimed directly at the likes of James Dobson and Falwell and Robertson and their ilk. Make no mistake about it. He is willing, ready, willing, and able to start a religious war just to feed this gang's insatiable desire for power. You can see it on their faces. They know they're driving the car right now, folks. They know they are. You'll start hearing the phrase, the other faith, as a matter of course now. Cheney planted the seed. He did it intentionally. And any attempt by him or anyone else in this administration to soften or ameliorate what he said is a complete fraud. These guys have never had any intention of changing the tone in Washington. They came with the sole idea of building the power base and executive office from the very beginning. It's been an us versus them mantra. These people will not be satisfied until they have the control necessary to do whatever they want, whenever they want to do it. And if that doesn't remind you of a group of people who actually achieved that kind of power in Europe back in the 30s, then you need to start reading some history books. Don't get me wrong here. I'm not condemning those of you who are true Republicans. I don't agree with many things the Republican Party stands for, but I've never accused them of not being patriots or not having the best interests of America in mind. They're patriots, too. But these people in power are, at the moment, as I've said many, many times, they're in no way representing the ideals of the Republican Party. Conservatives? I think even the most ardent Republican would not claim that these people are conservatives. They stand for huge government and complete government control. They stand for concentrating all of the power in the hands of the executive branch, and that certainly is not a Republican belief. And moreover, it's not even an American belief. In fact, it flies in the face of the Constitution they pretend to hold so dear. You know, it sickens me to see how they wave the Constitution in everybody's faces and then they trample it whenever they think it's necessary just to achieve their imperialistic, sick goals. I honestly believe that Cheney's remark about the other faith is the most repulsive, sordid remark ever uttered by an American politician. But then, it's Dick Cheney, and what else would we expect? I would ask if they had any shame, but such question was answered by this administration a long time ago. Do they have any shame? Wow. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Bill and Nathan. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy.
Yes.
Hey, great talking with you. Why have we not heard ever since Dan Rather got in trouble over the so-called National Guard service of our so-called president? Why haven't we heard? Where was he during all that time?
All what time?
Excuse me?
All what time, Bill?
Well, during that National Guard service.
The National Guard. Bill, the reason we haven't heard anything about that is because we no longer have a free press.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
I mean, isn't it so darn obvious? Here's a man who led us into this horrible war, killing so many hundreds, tens of thousands of innocent people, and he wasn't even there during Vietnam.
Well, I mean, a lot of people weren't there in Vietnam, but they didn't have their picture taken with their little flight suit on, getting off on the U.S. Lincoln, making everybody USS Lincoln, Abraham Lincoln, rather aircraft.
You mean mission accomplished?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It just astounds me. I think we're making some headway now, though, aren't we, on the war?
Well, I don't know. I hope so. I hope so. Whatever it takes to get it wrapped up and get our people out of there, I hope we're making enough headway to do that.
Exactly.
I did hear from somebody this week who is there and has helped train some of these Iraqis that are going to take over their army and National Guard and police force and all, and said that's not going so well.
That's what I assume that. Of course, we don't get the true reportage on that, do we?
No, I don't think we do. Not at all.
Well, thank the Lord. You know, let's get the troops back here. I mean, we have enough trouble. We have North Korea on the looming in the horizon now, don't we?
Well, I think people have said for a long time that, you know, here we went over and attacked Iraq when North Korea was the guy that really needed some attention.
Exactly, or Iran for that matter. And we picked on that, and the dumb American public went right along with it.
Yeah, we picked the toothless tiger, and just made Bush look good. I think he had every intention of going in there, getting that thing over with, and looking like a war hero, and just being Mr. Big Shot. Just didn't quite turn out that way.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yeah, the insurgents had other ideas.
Well, thank Lord for you, Guy. You're doing a great job. You're a voice in the wilderness down here in particular, in this ultra-conservative realm of the world.
Well, it is. You are, in fact, correct. It is a political wilderness here. For we Democrats, anyway. Thanks, Bill. It's good to hear from you.
Thanks, Guy, very much.
We're going to go to Neil in Lehigh. Hi, Neil.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Good.
We got a couple of little spin thoughts that just popped into the conversation after listening to your last call. How about this for a question? The question was, did the president report to duty in Alabama? Now, the answer should have been yes or no, right? The answer they gave was, he was given an honorable discharge.
Yeah,
but that wasn't a question.
That's right. You're right.
And that was the spin. And somehow, and I agree with you, the news media didn't come back and say, wait a minute, excuse me, that wasn't a question. All right? Just listening to your previous caller, things are popping into my head.
Well, you know, Neil, one of the problems is there weren't any semen stains on those discharge papers.
Isn't that a joke?
That's the big thing.
Yeah. Educator in New York. Two of my students were killed in Iraq. And, you know, at that time, how'd he die? Well, he was in a Humvee. Well, this was like a month into it. I mean, do you realize that these people over there driving around, this poor 18-year-old kid steps forward, joins the Army, killed. Now we find out, probably killed because there wasn't any armor on it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and I agree with you. The people in this country they're not paying attention. They don't want to pay attention.
It's business as usual. We got people dying every day, and it's just business as usual.
Oh, yeah, we got to have a tax cut, though, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I really called for. I think you'll like this. You take cruises. I know you. I've heard you say you're going on a cruise.
Yeah.
You know, you mix with people that, you know, you just mix. You meet them. And I'm sitting on a cruise ship, and there's an old guy in his 70s, and he goes, "Well, finally enjoying life." He said, "I just sold my company. And it wasn't a big company. It's 20 employees. He said, hey, I'm in a 52% tax bracket." So I'm thinking, boy, that seems awfully high. Listen to this line. Canada has been good for me. I don't mind paying that kind of tax, but I've had a great life there. What a difference, eh?
Yeah.
What an attitude.
I guess so.
Here's a man with wealth who says, hey, I made some money, and, you know, but in our country, gee, why do you take the money from the rich, you know, blah, 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 blah kind of thing, right?
Well, Neil, you know, if you listened last week, I don't know if you did or not.
I heard part of it.
We had a gentleman call in last week and saying, what's the gripe anyway? You mentioned about the price of oil and gas going up. They pay twice, three times that much in other countries. I had a gentleman from London.
I did hear that.
A gentleman from London, England, sent me I wish I'd have brought that along. A long, detailed, very, very good letter. One of the best letters I've ever gotten on this program. Said, yeah. We pay the equivalent of $3-4 a gallon for gasoline over here, but we have national health care.
Yeah.
That's where that money goes. Would anybody in this country mind paying more for gasoline if it didn't go into the pockets of the rich oil companies? Instead, we had a national health care program.
Yeah. But the right wing likes to call that socialized medicine.
That's right.
You know, like now we have a socialized education system, I guess. I mean, they love that word socialism, you know. Actually, do you have a minute?
Yes.
The reason why I called, I'm watching Lou Dobbs the other night. Warren Buffett is on. Well, for those in your audience who don't know who Warren Buffett is, he's the second richest man in the United States. When the tax cut came on, he got $333 million. He actually said this is some kind of joke. He said, my secretary got nothing. She was for $100 or something. She was, you know, he said, this is unbelievable. So he's on Lou Dobbs during the week. And he says, Lou Dobbs says, what do you think of the repeal of the estate tax? Which, you know, Connie Mack, of course, our great representative, keeps going right along with everything. And he said, oh, that's ridiculous. That's a, he says, you cannot imagine the tax breaks that rich have gotten under this administration. To give us this, repeal the estate tax, this is unbelievable. It's just like they're in the cookie jar, taking the money out, and just throwing it to the rich. But we got control of it here. You know, it's so irresponsible. It's just unbelievable. But the reason, the main reason I think people should understand this about the estate tax, which I think is most people not up on this type of thing. First place, it only affects less than 2% of the population, the super rich. And I once heard a very wealthy man state why he doesn't mind paying the estate tax. And this is what he said. I live in a country where we have a very expensive army. We have an expensive public school system. We have the interstate highway. We have a government. We have hospitals. If I lived in Nigeria, I wouldn't have accumulated this kind of money. So upon my death, I don't mind paying taxes because I accumulated it because you pay taxes. You, the average American person, pay taxes so I was able to enjoy this great infrastructure, this great nation. And people don't seem to understand that part of it.
You're right.
You know?
You're right.
And you take a guy, here we are, one last point. Teddy Roosevelt, Republican. He's the one that brought this forward, right? We've had Democrats, Republicans over the last 100 years. No one has repealed this thing. People figure they've lost. They've made so much money. You know, there's this, I don't exactly know the dollar figures of what they have to pay. But, you know, I don't think I've seen too many Brinks armored cars going to the cemetery lately.
No.
You know?
That's right. That's right.
So you've lived in a great country. You've enjoyed all its great wealth. And you say to yourself, so I have to pay for it. I have to pay a little more. But they can't get it through their heads. You know.
So true.
I think we just need to educate people, Guy.
Well, that's what the mission of this program is.
You certainly are doing a great job.
Going to stay with it. Thank you for calling, Neil.
Right. Thanks.
Good to hear.
Bye-bye.
From you. Yeah, it's true what he says. Someone sent me a very nice letter and really wanted to share their thoughts with me and talked about it being the a letter to this administration from a lady by the name of Margaret Atwood. And I thought this to be very pointed. It's a year or so old, but it's a letter to this administration. And I'll just read you some of it. You're gutting the Constitution. Already your home can be entered without your knowledge or permission. You can be snatched away and incarcerated without cause. Your mail can be spied on. Your private records searched. Why isn't this a receipt for widespread business theft, political intimidation, and fraud? I know you've been told all this is for your own safety and protection, but think about it for a minute. Anyway, when did you get so scared? You didn't used to be easily frightened. Remember, this is a letter to America. You're running up a record level of debt. Keep spending at this rate, and pretty soon you won't be able to afford any big military adventures. Either that, or you'll go the way of the USSR. Lots of tanks, but no air conditioning. That'll make folks very cross. They'll be even crosser when they can't take a shower because your short-sighted bulldozing of environmental protection has dirtied most of the water and dried up the rest. Then things will get hot and dirty indeed. You're torching the American economy. How soon before the answer to that will be not to produce anything yourselves, but to grab stuff other people produce at gunboat diplomacy prices? Is the world going to consist of a few mega-rich King Midases with the rest being serfs, both inside and outside of your country? Will the biggest business sector in the United States be the prison system? Let's hope not. If you proceed much further down the slippery slope, people around the world will stop admiring the good things about you. They'll decide that your city upon the hill is a slum and your democracy is a sham, and therefore you have no business trying to impose your sullied vision on them. They'll think you've abandoned the rule of law. They'll think you've fouled your own nest. By Margaret Atwood, a letter to America. And I don't think it could be much more true than that, most certainly not. You know, Bush's ownership society. And you know, she talked about the environment there and the things going on. Bush's so-called Earth Day speech. Did any of you see that? Earth Day. You know, at the we flew into the Great Smoky Mountains. He didn't know where he was supposed to go because it was raining that day. But he still gave his speech at the edge of the Great Smoky Mountains, the national park. And it was unbelievably hypocritical. No matter what he said, here's some of the facts. The Bush administration, and I love these names they give to things, the Bush administration's Clear Skies plan, Clear Skies, is a gift to polluters that guts the existing requirements of the Clean Air Act. Through the year 2012, an additional 21 million more tons of sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxides will be released into our atmosphere under the Bush plan than by the existing Clean Air Act. Nice to have that new plan, huh? We need 24 more million more tons of sulfur dioxide and nitrous oxides in the air. The Bush plan will make our air much, much dirtier than simply complying with the existing regulations of the Clean Air Act. And this includes the air in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, which already has the worst air quality of any national park. Ozone pollution in the Smokies often exceeds that of Los Angeles. And the air quality in the Smokies has violated federal health standards more than 175 times. The Bush plan will make it a whole lot worse. The health effects of the Bush plan are estimated by the Natural Resources Defense Council to translate into more than 100,000 more premature deaths and millions more asthma attacks to many of these in the Great Smoky Mountain regions. And I don't have to tell you about the income of a lot of folks that live in the Great Smoky Mountain region, do I? No. A lot of those folks don't have the big income. A lot of those folks don't have health insurance. You know, Bush would have been more honest if he'd given this speech outside the gates of one of his fat cat friends' chemical plants. He is no friend of our environment, and it makes me just absolutely furious to see the man stand there and talk about being environmentally friendly. I can see him all laughing about that when he's done giving a speech. Well, George, you did it. You actually went out and made him think you were going to give some clean air. George Bush, clean air. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I'm sorry to be so negative this evening, but the news this week has been so bad. So bad. Did you read that Ahmed Shalabi was appointed the Minister of Oil? God. I read this and I thought, nah, it's not going to happen. Shalabi's the Minister of Oil in Iraq now. This guy's the biggest crook that ever lived. I don't know if the people in Jordan are still trying to get a hold of him or not. Isn't it Jordan where he absconded with a bunch of funds? Then he goes over into Iran and shoots off his mouth, and he's in trouble with the Iranians and in trouble with but he still gets to be a Minister of Oil, and he's still our puppet. I don't know if they're still giving him that $360,000 a month, though. I think they may have stopped that. You're invited to call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504, 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 in Collier County. We've got a couple lines open, and we would like for you to call. No show would be complete without talking about our favorite Reverend. I don't know if he's our favorite or not, but we've got several favorites. Reverend Pat Robertson, you know, I always listen very carefully to what he has to say. And I was looking up some things that he talked about this week, and George Stephanopoulos had him on and asked him why God is so involved in our daily life. Why would it allow a tsunami to kill hundreds of thousands of people? And Robertson says, I don't think he reverses the laws of nature. And that's what he said. But it does conflict with other meteorological comments made by Robertson, who has over and over again linked natural disasters to the will of God. I thought you might be interested in a couple of things that the Reverend Pat said. Now, this guy turns my stomach when I see him. I can't imagine. Are any of you sending him money on the 700 Club? Are you? Let me give you a little hint. Next time, if you're sending money to the 700 Club and you want to make sure it gets to the right place, make that check out to God. Okay? Next time you send a check in to one of those guys, make it out to God. Let's see if God needs the money. But, you know, down in Orlando, it's up in Orlando from where we are here, so city officials voted back in 1998 to fly those rainbow flags from city lampposts during the annual Gay Days event down at up at Disney World. And so Robertson issued the city a warning. He warned the city of Orlando. Pat Robertson did. I don't think I'd be waving those flags in God's face if I were you. Condition like this will bring about the destruction of your nation. It'll bring about terrorist bombs. It'll bring earthquakes, tornadoes, and possibly a meteor. Man, you could do a meteor right down over Fantasyland and bang, zoom. You know, Robertson... You know, some of the preposterous things a guy like him does, he claimed that his prayers to God helped steer Hurricane Gloria in 1985 and Hurricane Felix in 1995. They steered him away from Hampton Roads, Virginia. He saw them coming, and he got out there in his front yard, and he started praying, and don't you know, the hurricanes just went the other... They turned around and went the other way. And the headquarters is near Hampton Roads, Virginia. And he also noted that various natural disasters are signs of God's will and that the world will suffer more of them before the arrival of the end of the age. But really the most important thing that he said lately, he said that judges are a greater threat to America than Al-Qaeda and the Nazis. Pat Robertson, for you fundies out there, said that judges are a greater threat to America than Al-Qaeda and the Nazis were. Let me get the exact quote here. Federal judges are a more serious threat to America than Al-Qaeda and the September 11th terrorists, the Reverend Pat Robertson claimed yesterday. Over 100 years, I think the gradual erosion of the consensus that's held our country together is probably more serious than a few bearded terrorists who fly into buildings. He said that with George Stephanopoulos last week. I think we've controlled Al-Qaeda. I think Al-Qaeda thinks differently, the 700 Club host said, but warned of erosion at home and said judges were creating a tyranny of oligarchy. Confronted by Stephanopoulos on his claims that an out-of-control liberal judiciary is the worst threat America has faced in 400 years, worse than Nazi Germany, Japan, and the Civil War. And Robertson didn't back down. Yes, I really believe that, he said. I think they're destroying the fabric that holds our nation together. Well, my. Of course, being Pat Robertson, he later denied that he said that and said they've taken out of context. Not one word was taken out of context, Mr. Robertson. Not a word. Hey, we're going to pause for a very... No, we're not going to pause for a break right now. We got top of the hour coming up here pretty soon. All right. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Some guy wrote me a note the other day and said, he was taking a poll, doing some research on listenership of radio programs, I said, well, we've got two different kinds of listeners on this program. We've got our liberal listeners, and they're the majority of our listeners, but we also have our right-wing radio junkies that listen to this program and write those filthy emails that we get. And they call the show now and then, and I wish they'd call tonight. I don't know where they're at. You wanted to know about these radio... You seem curious that I would bring it up and call these people right-wing radio junkies. Well... what is a right-wing radio junkie exactly? And he wanted to know. And I told the guy, I said, well, many of them live east of the West Coast and west of the East Coast and probably north of the Mason-Dixon line and actually south of the Mason-Dixon line. And many of you drive pickup trucks with gun racks in the back window and you got a Confederate flag somewhere on the vehicle. That's a necessity. You got to have that if you're a right-wing radio listener. And, of course, you got to have that truck jacked up so you can get those big tires on it, those really great big tires. And also, somewhere on the vehicle, there should be a phrase. You got to have it on there in a bumper sticker or have it painted on or something. These colors don't run. You always want to have that on there. And you really want to own a Hummer. Which, in my opinion, is the most ridiculous vehicle probably ever put together. You know, you've seen these Hummers. They're about, I don't know, $55,000. They're like a tank on wheels. and they get pitiful gas mileage, and they're the very symbol of excess. I don't know what could show excess any more than a Hummer going down the road. And, of course, well, the part that really gets me, you know, they're four-wheel drive vehicles. And when I lived up north, two, maybe three times a year, it'd be nice to have a four-wheel drive vehicle. But here we got these Hummers. I bet there's more Hummers in southern Florida than any other place in the country. I don't know that to be true. But it's either got to be here or Southern California, one or the other. A real status symbol around here. What do you need a four-wheel drive vehicle for around here? I don't know. But, you know, the right-wing listeners, going back to that, there's about 1,000 talk radio stations in the U.S., and almost all of them spew right-wing hate 24 hours a day. They got the syndicated right-wing hosts. They're really good at what they do. They're ferocious about it as well, and they all share one thing on their resumes. They all made their careers off of Bill and Hillary Clinton. Their mega millions of dollars in income have come from their hatred of the Clintons and their ability to deceive people into thinking that George Bush walks on water. You know, and all liberal Democrats are wrong all of the time, and all conservative Republicans are 100% right all the time. And they preach all that as the gospel. And the less intelligent of the listeners know why they swallowed hook, line, and sinker. The right-wing show hosts don't take many calls from those on the left, so the average right-wing listeners is exposed to nothing but propaganda all week long. That's how they do it. And, of course, that's why sometimes when you confront one of these right-wingers and you throw some truth at them, it's like they got this weird look on their face. Whoa, where'd that come from? That doesn't sound like anything I've heard. And, you know, you try and prove it's the truth to them, they don't want to hear it. They really don't want to hear it. Well, we'll be back with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics. And just stay tuned. We'll be back after news at the top of the hour.
The Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. WINK Fort Myers, WNOG Naples. AM 12 Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
Fox News Radio, I'm Uma Pemaraju. A shocker at Churchill Downs.
Lots of frowns here at Churchill Downs as the favorites faded, including Yankee boss George Steinbrenner's Bellamy Road, who finished seventh. Instead, a 50-1 long shot wins this year's Kentucky Derby.
Fox's Rick Leventhal in Louisville. Three-year-old colt Giacomo won America's Classic Thoroughbred Horse Race. He's named for rock star Sting's 9-year-old son. Al-Qaeda's captured number 3 Top Gun isn't saying much, but intelligence experts are hoping his notebook will speak volumes.
Reports that Al-Libi was angry, even shocked, when he was apprehended, and he made attempts to destroy this notebook. That signifies that he was taken by surprise. He thought the notebook was secure, and the last thing he wanted, apparently, was have it to fall into the Pakistani and U.S. intelligence hands.
Fox's Catherine Herridge. And don't forget that tomorrow is Mother's Day. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Tomorrow's clouds today.
Now, see tomorrow's weather before it happens.
Clouds, even some rain showers.
With True View, only on Wink News.
Tomorrow, don't expect to see any sun.
True View's cutting-edge technology.
Notice how the clouds really roll in and increase.
Lets you see exactly what's coming and when.
Low clouds and fog early in the morning will dissipate.
The most advanced technology and certified local meteorologists. True View, only on Wink News. Southwest Florida's news leader.
Wake up to a new morning with Wink News. Patrick Gomer and Stacey Adams get you going with breaking news, weather, and exclusive Sky Eye traffic. Waking up is hard to do. Wink News makes it easier with your first forecast, your first look at the roads, and breaking news from around the corner and around the world. Wink News this morning, weekdays from 5 to 8, only on Wink News, Southwest Florida's news leader.
One voice. It can get the point across, but it only carries so far. Add a voice. It's richer, louder, but that has limits too. Add a third voice. It's even more powerful. Add another, and another, and many, many more. And we are stronger than ever. That's the power of a community coalition. They help community groups. Faith groups, civic organizations, PTAs, employers, and many others in your community organize their resources and focus them where they're needed most, like fighting to keep kids away from drugs. Ask a group that you belong to if they should belong to a community coalition. It's easy to get involved. Visit helpyourcommunity.org and they'll tell you exactly how your group can help. That's helpyourcommunity.org. Because you get more
when we get together.
Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
The First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States allows that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
We believe there's no government document more important than this. Because without free speech and a free press, all of our other freedoms would not survive. The right of free speech and peaceful dissent ensures that all Americans' voices may be heard, no matter what the circumstance. We've watched other countries lose their right to free speech and turn into totalitarian nations where truth was whatever the ruling class deemed it to be. We cannot allow this to happen in America. We cannot afford to give up nor compromise these sacred rights. It is in this spirit that Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics is proud to sponsor The Guy James Show.
Diane wants to know if you'll mention the Kent State anniversary.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, my. We're back here for the last hour of the Guy James Show. And something I was remiss in mentioning this week, and somebody just reminded me of it. We forgot to mention the anniversary of the Kent State slaughter, really is what it was. National Guard killing students at Kent State. That was kind of a little close to home for me when that happened. It was an outrage. It's still an outrage after all these years. James Rhodes was the governor of Ohio at that time, and although, you know, you can't put the blame exactly on the governor, it just is something that never should have happened. Never should have happened. And I think it was, what, four students were killed, I believe. And up in Kent, Ohio, at Kent State, home of the Kent State Golden Flashes. And so we do want to remember that. It happened, I think, what, 30 years ago? As the anniversary of it. You know, we talked a little earlier tonight. We're talking about how these things get started from these right-wing think tanks and how it is absolutely intentional, that the Bushes are working hard to divide the country. And lest you think we're kidding about that, you know, I'm talking about Dick Cheney, Darth Vader Cheney, going up and giving a speech. Well, I don't know. He was up in Georgia. And it was another one of those Republican-only town hall meetings, you know, where you couldn't let a Democrat get within 5 miles of the place. And it was on strengthening Social Security. And what he said is nothing more than the same crap we've heard over and over and over again. But there was that one statement where he said the number of people and members of Congress, and quote, of the other faith. The other faith. But here's the point, the interesting point of all this. Later on in that same meeting, Cheney started taking questions. And that's the first time, if you do a Google on this or a Nexus search, you'll find it's the first time this other faith thing was mentioned. But later on, in that very same town hall meeting, I just love the name of those, here's a question from someone that stood up and got to ask the question. You don't think he had a little help with this question, this guy? Question, Mr. Vice President, thank you for coming to Georgia, and thank you and the President for your leadership in the war on terror. Millions of Americans appreciate that. My question is, I watched the press conference the other night with the President, and it seems like when the two of you come up with serious ideas, that those from the other faith and the other party, all they do is demonize, in many cases, just lie and try to divide the older generation, our grandparents. Yeah, some guy stands up and asks that question, and it just happens to work in that other faith thing that had just been mentioned brief moments before by the illustrious Mr. Dick Cheney. And then another gentleman gets to get up and ask another question. Good morning, Vice President Cheney. I'd like to ask a question. This morning you really delineated very well a lot of points in the program and what you and the presidents want to do. Could you delineate for us? I don't think he should have used that again so soon. But anyway, could you delineate for us? Because I think we have a little bit of an easy audience this morning on convincing us of this program. Could you delineate out a few other points from the other side or the other faith? Differences maybe in what you're saying this morning and maybe what they're saying or not saying. Are we seeing a little pattern develop here? Mm-hmm. That's how it goes, folks. Get that out there, the other faith. And this just in, a 15-minute-old article on the North Carolina Democratic Church members, and we'd thank Judy Lynn for sending this to us. Democrats voted out of North Carolina Church, weigh their next move. This is from the Associated Press. Dateline Waynesville, North Carolina. Somebody do that little thing in the background, you know, like we're doing real news here. Moore said Saturday that some of the ousted members plan to meet with an attorney on Monday to discuss their options. We're hoping he will make him leave. They're talking about the minister. We're hoping the attorney will make him leave so that church members can come back, she said. In the days since the 9 members were ousted, many more members have reportedly left the church in protest. He went on and on about how he's going to bring politics up, and if we don't agree with him, we should leave, Isaac Sutton told the News Observer of Raleigh. I think I deserve the right to vote for who I want to, Sutton, a deacon who worshipped at East Waynesville Baptist Church for the past 12 years, said. He said he and his wife were among the 9 voted out. I've been going to this church for 25 years, and I've never had a problem, Sutton's wife, Lorraine, told the Associated Press on Friday. He's young, he being the minister, he's young and he thinks he knows everything. Other former members of the church declined to speak with the reporter Saturday, citing the advice of their attorney. But the furor over politics at the church was the talk of Waynesville, a community of about 9,200. It's just an outrage for something like this to happen, said Heidi Jenkins, 52, as she held a garage sale in her home down the street from the church. Prince said he noticed during the presidential campaign that more pastors made endorsements, although not from the pulpit, than in the past years. It used to be that pastors would speak about the issues and not specific candidates, he said. I think that line is being crossed. Well, I think that line was crossed. And actually, I want to thank that minister down at Waynesville, North Carolina. I want to thank him for doing that. I really do, and I mean that. I want to thank him from the very bottom of my heart for going ahead and having those people excommunicated from out of his church, because now the genie's out of the bottle. Now we know what is going on. It's out in the open. They can't keep it silent anymore. We know what they're up to. We know the lengths they will go to, and this just proves it. So there'll be more. You're going to hear a lot more about that, although you won't hear from the mainstream media, evidently, because they're still not doing a whole lot with it. I know Keith Olbermann the other night, he had a story on about it. And Keith does a pretty doggone good job. And a lot of you watch Keith. I think he's really found a home, finally. He did sports for a while, and he did this for a while, and that for... It just never seemed he was quite where he ought to be. But I think right now the show he's got is just... Well, I like it. I like the guy. He's got enough of an entertainer in him, and he's an extremely smart guy, and he's got a steel trap mind, and I just like the way he goes about things. But that's my sense of humor. He makes me laugh. He's got courage. He'll bring up stuff other people won't. He brought this story up the other night. I mean, like, right away on his show. And I was really surprised, very surprised to see that come up that quickly on his program. So, it's, you know, it's a good thing. And I want to thank Judy Lynn on Democratic Underground for sending us that quick story there about the church, most certainly. Where's the outrage about the smoking gun that happened this week? Where is it? Are we as a nation so... are we just so... Do we have so much apathy? Does it not bother you that your friends and neighbors down the block, up and down the block, don't care about any of this? They're just willing to let it happen. Whatever happens, just let it happen. And, gee, we can't stop it from happening. Let's just go along with whatever happened. And we'll just be nice. And whatever the president says, of course, you know he is the president. And we have total faith in him. And whatever he says must be the right thing. Because, you know, he is a man of God. He says that. He tells us that all the time. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what's happening to this country when we pay attention, more attention to the American Idol than we will finding out about the truth, about huge lies about a war. Is that not sad? I like the American Idol show. I watch it. I appreciate the talent on there, and I like to see young people get ahead. I suppose I'm a little jealous of them. Getting on there and getting able to do, you know, sing and do all that sort of thing. I think it's a great fun, and we've got a gal for the rest of you around here. We've got a gal from Fort Myers, Fonzelle Solomon. She's right here from Fort Myers, Florida. She's a doll, and I think she could walk off with the prize from that thing. I really do. I think her and Bo, that's my guess. It's going to come down between her and Bo. You think so, Ron? You think so, too? Yeah. Definitely the two most talented and the two most polished people on the show. Although that little country singer girl, she's pretty doggone good, too. It's getting to be one of those things now that whoever's left, it's like, oh, gee, I hate to see any of them go home. But that's my bit about American Idol. But doesn't it trouble you? It doesn't trouble me to watch American Idol and know what's going on to it because I know what else is going on in the world and I have my priorities straight. I didn't watch American Idol until I knew the truth of what was going on every place else and knew about this bombshell that was dropped by the British press this past week. Absolutely documenting, you might as well say, the lies. Where are those callers this week that didn't think Mr. Bush lied about it? Well, you can't prove he's lying about anything. Well, here it is. Here it is in black and white. I don't suppose they want to accept that. I guess not. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. We do hope you'll join us. 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570 in Collier County. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Howard Dean still out on the road, getting a lot done for the Democratic Party. How do you feel about Howard Dean? I have been a little bit disturbed about some of the things I've read that some of my fellow Democrats have said about Howard Dean, that they're not happy with this, that, and the other thing. And Howard, let me say something about that. I don't think we should be one-issue voters. And if you're unhappy with some part of what Howard Dean stands for, please listen to everything he has to stand for. If you find a candidate that you agree with on every possible facet of what might come up, you're going to be awfully lucky. I don't think there's ever been a candidate that I agreed with all the his stance on all the issues. I'm pretty sure there hasn't been. Always something. Always something. You know, we backed John Kerry in the election. We all voted for him, we Democrats. I didn't like the fact that he'd voted for the war. I didn't like the fact that he and a lot of other senators were bamboozled over the whole thing and had this massaged intelligence to make a decision from. I didn't like that at all. And what the heck ever happened to Porter Goss? You know, when he took over at the CIA, you heard about Porter Goss, and he's one of our local people here, folks, a rich guy from out on Sanibel Island. He lives up in Virginia most of the time, got a big horse farm up there. But we heard Porter Goss all the time, and by golly, all the talk about the CIA has gone right, well, it's just shut up. I mean, it's just plain quiet. We got Joe in Fort Myers. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the program.
How you doing, guy?
Good.
Good. Reason why I'm calling, I've spoken with you some time ago, and basically it kind of bothers me when you say that you kind of reveal some truth to what you would consider right-wing Republicans or conservatives or fundamentalists, and that they kind of look dumbfounded. I think what happens, okay, and I happen to be a Republican and probably would be considered right-wing, although right-wing I think is kind of a negative term for someone that just has a real good Christian foundation. But what really bugs me about this is I don't understand what really bothers you or the Democrats about Bush. Other than I think something has really kind of blossomed here. I think what really is bothering the Democrat Party or the liberal side of the Democrat Party, first off, let me make one comment. I think the Democrat Party does not reflect the Democrat Party of the 60s. When I grew up, you know, the Democrat Party was extremely conservative, in my humble opinion. In fact, even during the Vietnam War years, which, you know, whether what side of the issue you were on it, you know, it was Kennedy and Johnson that scaled up the amount of troops that were going to Vietnam. And there's certainly declassified memos to that effect. But really, one of the things that has gotten to me is I think what bothers most people is this is a man, and I'm not saying he walks on water. Believe me, there are things I disagree with this president, and you know, personally. But it does not affect what I think is really bothering the left, and that is this man seems to be keeping his word. For example, okay, one thing I think that really irritates Democrats is the fact that he's becoming a socialist president. Social in the sense that, you know, he's overhauled the Medicare, and now he's basically saying, let's put everything on the table for Social Security. Now, whether you agree with what's on the table or not is not the major issue. You know, we're talking leadership and management, you know, as that we should have green sessions, put everything on the table. I think that's a problem. You know, to hold somebody else and say, well, unless you take personalized accounts off the table, then we're not going to talk with you. I think that's crazy. I think that's just being too narrow-minded. You know, what bothers me is that these are strictly voluntary accounts, for example, and most places now have switched to a 401k account, which is voluntary in most respects and allows you to invest whatever portion of money plus the company's portion of money. And these would be strictly voluntary. But to just personally take them off and say, well, we're not going to talk to you about stuff like this because, you know, we don't want it, this is nonsense. And, you know, yet, this week, you know, he puts on the table of a trickle-down system with regards to, you know, income levels. You know, and that's something that Democrats have really longed for because of the fact that they felt that the people that were receiving Social Security benefits were, you know, that made a lot of money were robbing the system. And I think that there's some indication of that, okay?
Well, Joe, you must know that a whole lot of Republicans don't want his program with their personal accounts either.
Well, that's not necessarily true.
Well, it is true.
Let me tell you what's happened, okay? Okay, the problem we've got here is we forget what happened back in 1998 when certainly Clinton was facing the music with regards to Monica. He talks about save Social Security now. That was one of his major themes. And if you recall during the debates, there was a pointed question between Kerry and Bush as to what to do with Social Security. And Kerry's answer was, I would do nothing. I would keep the status quo. Well, listen, I think what bothers is that this is the first Republican president that's really taking almost a Democratic platform and trying to push it across. And I think this is the problem, that kind of popularity is actually bringing people together, except for the politicians. You know,
Joe, there's a big hole in your theory, Joe.
I disagree.
There's a big hole. Joe, are you going to talk over me?
Why? Well,
like the response. No, Joe, let me respond. I've let you say your piece for a long time here.
Go ahead.
And I think you admit 10 times longer than a lefty would ever get on a Limbaugh show. Would you not agree?
Not necessarily.
I listen to
Rush quite regularly.
I know the ropes.
When there's people that disagree, that they will speak their time and not a problem.
But the problem is here that, first of all, most Republicans do not want his program. The numbers show that, and Bush knows the numbers show that. And secondly, you mentioned his popularity. He's got the lowest popularity numbers of any second-term president in modern history.
Yeah, but he won by 52% of the vote. Explain that.
Well, I think the horse has finally shown his colors here, and I don't think the Republicans are very happy with him at all. But you will admit, will you not, that he has the lowest numbers, approval numbers?
I'm not admitting to anything about poll numbers. I think what we're talking about here is not about poll numbers. We're talking about performance. And the thing is that if, you know, one of the things I admire, okay, is if you recall prior to the election, the polls indicating he was going to lose. Okay? So let's not buy it to the poll theory. Let's buy it to principle.
Buy into the polls. He buys into the polls, Joe.
Whether you agree with Bush or not, whether I do or not, you have to do one thing. Whether you agree with him or not, he's pushing the programs he spoke about during his campaign. And that's what's got people bothered.
Well, if somebody says they're going to come over and burn my house down, I don't admire them if they come over and do it.
Well, he's not going to tell people to burn their house down. Let's be realistic here.
No, I mean, you're saying he stands up for his principles. If his principles are wrong in the eyes of most Americans, that doesn't make that a good thing if he follows through on them, does it?
Then I would agree with that. But let me tell you this, okay? I've never heard that man go wacko with regards with the office. And here's the difference, okay? The difference is let's look at reality. First off, you got more Republicans than you ever did in both houses of Congress. Since 1994, it's gone the other way. People are understanding that common sense and being responsible for your own actions is really what it's about.
Joe, can I interject something in here?
Feel free.
We have the worst economy, the worst budget deficit, the worst trade deficit we've ever had. All this under this man's watch and under this Republican Congress's watch. Are you saying that their policies that are good?
Well, wait a minute.
Don't wait a minute.
In answer to your question, okay, you want me to answer, I'll answer. Yes, the deficit is there, but also the deficit is being cut into, as well as the fact that we are at war, and you should know, as well as anybody, any wartime president is going to have a deficit in their budget. And
Joe, let me ask you another question. Has there ever been a tax cut for the rich during a war?
There's been a tax cut for everyone during the war. In fact, sir, let me say something to you. You want an honest God answer? I don't consider myself rich. I'm a day in and day out.
Okay, but I ask you a question. Has there ever been a tax cut for the rich during a war?
There should be a tax cut for everyone. Who provides the...
During a war?
For everyone has been...
During a war when we can't afford it and drive up the budget deficit even more?
Mr. James, I made... This year, I brought back $2,400 this year on income tax return. Under previous administrations, the best I could do was $900, sir. And that was claiming the same. And all I'm saying to you is I've got more in my pocket than I ever had.
Well, you are the exception. You are the exception.
There's nothing wrong with that.
You are the exception.
No, I'm not the exception.
You
sir.
Most certainly are the exception. Joe, do you think this is a good economy right now?
Sir, you want to know the answer? 5.2% unemployed.
No, I didn't ask you about the unemployment. I asked you, do you think this is a good strong economy right now?
You made the statement that when confronted with facts, right wing Republicans look dumb. Let's deal with the facts.
Let's deal with the facts. Is this a strong economy? Joe, I ask you a question. Is this a strong economy or not?
Yes, it is, sir.
It is. So you don't agree with all of a sudden I can't think of the Federal Reserve. You don't agree with his
Greenspan.
You don't agree with what he said about the economy slowing down.
I agree that it's slowed down a bit. Yes, it has.
Did you hear Mr. Greenspan say that if his budget deficit keeps up, we're headed for trouble?
But after he made that statement, 2 days later, the jobs market showed that you had almost 300,000 new people on payroll, non-agricultural.
Joe, how many jobs does it take a month just to keep up with population growth? Joe, don't talk over me. Do you know that for this calendar year, we're behind in job growth as compared to what we need for the growth in population? We're behind. Do you know that?
In 4 years,
you're not gonna defend this economy, are you?
Pardon me?
You're not gonna tell me that we should just dismiss all this budget deficit and trade deficit and the economy in the tank?
I'm not.
Huh?
No, sir, I'm not.
All right, I'm just going to tell I've got to go now. We've got a line full of people here wanting to talk, but you've not said anything that really makes Mr. Bush look good.
No, but you haven't said any facts that disputed Mr. Bush being bad.
I said that Mr. Bush is presiding over the biggest budget deficit in history. He's presiding over a $300 billion war that never should have happened. He's presiding over the biggest trade deficit in history. And if that's not enough to color him, woo, way off.
Why shouldn't the war have happened, sir?
Huh?
Why shouldn't the war have happened?
Oh, let's not go there.
17 failures of the Clinton and the...
I knew it, Gates. Somebody start up the band. It's Clinton's fault, isn't it? Bye, Joe. Joe was doing okay till right there. It's Clinton's fault. It's Clinton's fault. You know, the guy was making a case. He was wrong on everything he said. Can you imagine having a discussion with about Mr. Bush and saying, well, he follows through on everything he says? And I really admire him for following through on everything he says. Well, the budget deficit, the economy's in the tank now, and inflation's starting to go, and the trade deficit, and the national debt's growing leaps and bounds, and you can't defend a president that's presiding over that. You can't do it. You just can't. The war was a lie. We've proven this week that the war was a lie, but that's okay with these right-wingers. It's okay with it. If he told a fat lie about it, and we no longer are guessing, we're no longer giving circumstantial evidence, we now know, we now have the documents that it was a complete, utter lie. You know, I just have to wonder about that. Why won't you accept that? Oh, well. Hey, we're going to pause for a break right now. We'll be back in just a moment with more of the Guy James Show, brought to you by Bill Smith Appliances and Home Electronics.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
Whatever you need, whatever you want, is on sale now at Bill Smith at the guaranteed lowest price in Southwest Florida. Frost-free refrigerators, freezers, washers, dishwashers, smooth-top ranges, 32-inch TVs, DVDs, LCD TVs, high-definition widescreens, complete home theater systems, plus free delivery or 18 months interest-free. Bill Smith, Southwest Florida's largest selection of appliances and home electronics at the guaranteed lowest price.
Son, you're a young man now. I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about, well, about men and women.
I know all about that stuff.
You might know a little biology, but do you know how to treat a woman?
How do I treat a woman, Dad?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to figure it out for yourself.
How?
Well, first I suggest you watch a lot of bad TV and violent movies and observe how women get treated there.
Okay, I'm kind of doing that already. What else?
Well, be sure to take careful note of what irresponsible older boys say at school.
I sure will.
Sometimes the only message boys get is the wrong one. By teaching boys early that violence against women is wrong, you can help prevent domestic violence. For tips on what to say, visit www.endabuse.org. End abuse. Teach early. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Family Violence Prevention Fund.
In Florida, call 1-800-500-1119. Brought to you locally by the Florida Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
The cold and flu season means sneezing, sniffles, and a stuffy head. And for many young children, it also means the pain of middle ear infections, one of the most frequently diagnosed ailments in children. Each year, doctors insert ear tubes in 2 million children due to repeated ear infections and fluid buildup. Fluid pressure is a major concern with middle ear infections. The potential risks are serious. Hearing impairment, delays in language development, or even long-term hearing loss. The treatment most frequently prescribed by ear doctors for this problem is Ciprodex Otic Suspension. It is the only ear drop containing a broad-spectrum antibiotic and an anti-inflammatory. The anti-inflammatory part of this treatment reduces inflammation, better allowing the antibiotic to reach the infection and to work more quickly and effectively. Studies of Ciprodex Otic show that it can clear up middle ear infections in children with ear tubes faster than ear drops that contain just an antibiotic. Side effects such as ear discomfort and pain, residue in the ear, and irritability are minor. For more information, speak to your pediatrician or visit www.ciprodex.com.
News Talk 1240 and 1270.
According to a recent survey, many Americans are paying at least $50 a month for health care and more for medicine than they did 3 years ago. Kristen Van Dusen, Senior Vice President of HealthSaver, explains.
This survey illustrates the rising costs of medication and why many consumers are turning to discount health programs such as HealthSaver. Members can save an average of nearly $19 on each prescription.
More information is available online at www.healthsaver.com or by calling 1-800-7-HEALTH.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Hey, you better call if you want to get into the program. 888-602-7500, 7501, 0203 and 04, 479-5540 here locally, 263-6570 for folks in Collier County. You know, it just occurred to me, do you know... those of you that have listened to the show a long time, you know how to tell when a right wing caller knows when he's getting his ass handed to him about the facts, when you give him the facts and he can't back them up. You know what his next move is? Clinton. That is a surefire way to tell that the guy knows he's in deep doo doo on facts. Can't argue the facts. Won't argue the facts because he can't. Clinton. That's it. That Clinton. Boy, Clinton. I'm telling you, that Clinton. All right, we're going to go to, we just had a caller disappear who wanted to talk about that. Why was that, Ron? He didn't like what I said about, it's true. Think about it. Think about all the time you've heard the righties call into this program and you give them one fact after another. And, the very fact that you will defend this man. You know, he said he tried to tell us there why we don't like him. You know, the cold hard facts is most of the reason most Democrats don't like Bush is because he's an idiot. You know, let's just say it like it is. I'll be truthful with you. I'm not going to beat around the bush. You know I think he's an idiot. You know I think he has no business being the President of the United States. I don't think he has the intellect to be the President of the United States. I don't think he has anything that needs to be the President of the United States. Really, you know that. Why should I lie? I tell the truth. Let's go to Bill in Lehigh. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Guy. How you doing?
Good.
Am I correct in hearing that you have a sponsor now?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great. I just hope they don't have any repercussions, being that we're in Dittohead country down here.
Well, we're happy about it.
You know, another thing, that guy, the last caller, you know, he brings up Clinton. It's always Clinton and sex. It's nothing to do with his policies. Nobody can tell you any of his bad policies. It's just about the Lewinsky thing.
Yeah, but Bill, he lied under oath.
Well, you know, I guess he could have done like Gingrich, you know, and just quit after he got caught having sex in Capitol Hill with an intern. I guess it's okay, though, because he wound up marrying her.
Yeah. Yeah. You bring up a good point. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
As far as Bush goes, though, I don't hate the guy.
I don't hate him either.
Sorry for him.
Yeah, I do, too. He's a poor, hapless guy that's in a job that's way over his head.
Exactly.
Everybody knows it's overhead. He knows he's in over his head. His handlers all know he's in over his head. And I feel sorry for him in that respect.
Now, that little thing with Laura Bush the other night, you know, that was a roast, and that's all in jest. But generally when they have roasts, people say things that they want to say, but they can't say under a different format.
Sure.
And that makes me wonder what the rest of the world thinks about us when the president's wife talks about him masturbating a horse and she has to go to strip clubs and she's a desperate housewife. I wonder how much of that she really, you know, did somebody write that for her, or was that her own idea?
I imagine somebody wrote it for her, and again, called him Mr. Excitement and all that sort of thing. it was.
Well, geez, you know, that guy had to get fired because what's the rest of the world think of us?
That's exactly right. you know, I don't know what's going to happen with that. Bill, thanks so much for calling the program.
All right. Take it easy.
Good to hear from you. We're going to go to, we have a defender, a fearless defender of the right here. We got Rob in Fort Myers. Hi, Rob.
How you doing, Guy?
Good.
I'd like to thank you for keeping your show on the air. And I had one set agenda to talk to you about tonight, but after Joe called, it kind of blew me out of the water. Are you there?
Yes.
I'm a 5-time decorated veteran. I'm a disabled veteran. And with him approving of this war, I'm going to tell you, Joe, you could fill my shoes. If you want to do it, go do it. It's nonsense. And after what Bush pulled, going over there and blasting the Russians, that no president in our history, I also got a degree in history, and no president has ever gone on the soil of another country and denounced them. And that's basically what Bush has been doing.
Yeah, I was appalled when I heard what he said in Latvia today.
That's a protocol which you do not cross. And it just was very, very much to me as an American citizen, him representing me, a slap in the face.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, though, that I am not, Guy, I am not a Democrat, and I am not a Republican. And the reason I'm not a Democrat is because I think in the last few years they have become such a bunch of wimps, and they won't stand up and fight.
I agree with you, Rob.
And this country needs somebody to stand up and fight, like a Harry Truman or someone like that, to go out and just tell people the way it is, whether you like it or not.
Absolutely.
And I just think what's gone on, not in the last weeks, not since the election, but in the last, 5 years, is appalling to me.
Well, Rob,
I would take my uniform off and just say, when I was in the military, Guy, they forbid people to bash Clinton. They did, because of the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a sexual thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
They bashed him on the media. But if you said anything in the military, you got in trouble.
Sure.
Everybody did. Nobody was allowed to say a word. But what has Bush done? He's slaughtered I don't know how many thousands of people were killed this time. I was in there for the first go around in Desert Storm, and they won't tell you how many people we've killed, but he gets away with it.
That's right.
We send money to countries. We do all this stuff, but here at home we have no health care. I mean, getting through the VA systems, I'm lucky because I'm through it now. But if people really woke up and saw what was going on, they would be appalled.
Rob,
I don't think they'll wake up.
They got blinders on. They don't want to know the truth. Rob, thanks so much for your call.
All right, guys. You have a good night.
Thanks for listening, too. Let's see. Where are we going to go here? We've got so many. We've got the lines lit up like a Christmas tree. We'll go to Bill in Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Guy. How you doing?
Very good.
I was glad to hear from Rob and thank him for his service.
Yes, sir.
And as you know, none of the veterans were ever treated worse than the Vietnam people. And you'd think it would be over now, but we have to listen to Rush Limbaugh come on the air. And every time he mentions Senator Kerry, he says, who went to Vietnam, in a sneering way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Rush Limbaugh is a draft dodger. He should be ashamed to say anything about a veteran that came back.
Rush has no shame.
And Rush Limbaugh referred to Al Gore as the Democrats' joke. And let's just compare the accomplishments of Al Gore, a college graduate, Vietnam veteran, a member of Congress in both houses, vice president. And when Al Gore was in the Congress, he was like a young Turk. And I'm sure you're familiar with that term. He's somebody that got the Internet moving. He's somebody that put us so far ahead in our electronics with defense, which is one reason why we stay ahead of China. So if Rush Limbaugh wants to call Al Gore a joke, then I feel sorry for him.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Another thing, Al Gore's been making some tremendous speeches lately, and I almost have to wonder why didn't he talk that way back in 2000. But we can't rewrite history, but he is a great speaker.
Well, he is, and you know, Rob just touched on it there a minute ago. You know, he said he's not a Democrat because a lot of the Democrats have been kind of wimpy. Well, you know, if Al would have got up and spoken during his campaign like what you just mentioned, it'd been over with.
I think he just had too many advisors or something.
Yeah.
And talking about President Bush, I mean, all the reasons that we went to Iraq have collapsed, and one of the newest, I call it the reason du jour of why we went in there was because democracies don't attack other democracies. Now, isn't this the same George Bush who has a revolutionary foreign policy, a preemptive strike from a democratic country?
Right.
I mean, he doesn't even know what he's saying.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't.
And Tony Blair took a terrible hit because of this Iraq situation, and the people in Europe are on to him. And Rush Limbaugh went on and on about the way he won the election. Well, a prime minister is not a president. Tony Blair could be out of there in less than a year. If he
has
no support in their version of Congress, he leaves, and I think he's in trouble.
Yeah, if they go no confidence on him, there are many in the Labor Party who do not back him. And so you're exactly right. His prime ministership is in danger, and we may see that come to an end.
I'm probably going to get scolded by God, James, but I'm telling you, you know, we have to give everybody freedom of speech. But, you know, when Ann Coulter comes on, my skin just starts to crawl, and I know yours does too.
Yeah.
But the worst is David Bossy. Who is that? He's a puppet for Richard Mellencamp, and he actually went on Chris Matthews. I don't know if you saw this or not. But
thank God I didn't. I can't stand the sight of him.
Well, everybody knows that Colin Powell, a former Secretary of State, did not endorse John Bolton. That's common knowledge.
Right.
And this David Bossy stands right there and looks at Chris Matthews and says, no, we don't know what his opinion is.
Oh.
And Chris Matthews looked right in the camera and says, General Colin Powell did not endorse John Bolton. In other words, he called him a liar right to his face. Now, I know we have to have freedom of speech, but why did people like this like this David Bossy allowed to come on these television?
Oh, I wouldn't have David Bossy on the program. He has no credibility whatsoever. None at all. Thanks for your call,
okay,
Bill.
Okay, thanks so much, guy.
Where are we going to go here? We're going to go to Austin, Texas.
Yes,
wow.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I hear your talk show on my internet.
Oh, good.
Every Saturday. Right now I'm hearing, of course. I want to say something. I'm a traveling salesman.
Mm-hmm.
I travel Salt Lake City, Phoenix, Colorado Springs quite often. When I'm in the hotels, some of these Mormons, they will come and invite me to their churches on Sunday. I go there to their churches. They will talk about Republican politics. Very prejudicial, and they will hate Democrats. Almost all the churches I went to, maybe I went to about 11, 12 churches,
wow,
all these places.
Well.
And then I wrote letters about it, talk shows like you, several other people. Nobody cared in those days. And now everybody talking about North Carolina. This kind of thing is happening a long time.
Sure. I believe it.
Since
yeah.
I'm a foreigner, they will invite me for all these churches. But they will hate, they will talk about Republican, and they love Republicans, they will hate Democrats. That's all they talk. Pastor is talking all these things in the Bible discussions and all these things.
Well.
And, but it is not a new thing. It is happening a long time. As long as I know, I can tell from 1990.
If I had my way, and I know there are cases of Democrats speaking from the pulpit in some churches as well, I would take away the tax exempt status of any church that allowed that kind of discussion. I think they should take away their tax exempt status, and I think that would make them keep that right out of the church. It's got no place in there, no place at all.
The thing is, Guy, I want to say to you, your show is really good.
Well, thank
I
you.
Really enjoy. And I'm a doctor by profession. I came from India.
Ah.
And so I'm pretty well to do, but I'm very progressive. I will think very, very progressively. And I like your show so much.
Well, thank
and,
you.
And every Saturday I will go through White Rose Society. I will hear that one every Saturday.
Yes.
And my wife and me, we both are doctors. So we are a very well-to-do family in the sense. I'm not telling. I work hard and I have a set of people. But I'm very progressive. I will think like you think.
Yes. Well,
but this Republican thing, which I know very well, some of these churches I attended, they invited me. Actually, I never gone there. Man, they would talk. I can't believe it. How bad they would talk about Democrats. You know,
well,
in the Bible meeting.
Yeah. Well, it's got to stop.
But
Ralph,
Democrats do the same thing. I think, I don't know, I never came across. But I don't know about, maybe about 11 churches in Phoenix, in Salt Lake City, in Silver Colorado Springs. And
well,
all these places, no exception, they will hate Democrats. That's
well, I really hate hearing that.
And but, again, see, I'm very progressive. I think all the time I'm a lot smarter than them because, you know, we are highly educated and we help people, we treat poor people, sick people.
Well,
and,
we just have to spread the truth more. We have to let these people know what the truth is. Ralph, I got a whole board full of callers. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very, very much, Guy. We enjoy.
And thank you for calling the program.
Okay.
Let's see here. Who's been waiting the longest? Let's go to Juan in Fort Myers. Hello, Juan.
Hi, Guy. Nice to hear you. I think people like your program, but history. Well, this is history in the making. Where is he at? What is he saying that? Where is he on the trickle down? Where is the trickle down at? Because we're sure not getting anything trickling down to us.
No.
You know, I just want to mention one more point, and it's, you know, because it's obvious that George Bush took us to this war in Iraq on a lie. If I had a family member that was killed in the war, I would run a petition to get this man impeached. And I don't know why people are not doing it, and I don't know why Democrats are not doing it, because people are getting killed because of a lie, and I don't know how much more are we going to be indebted, and how much many more Americans are going to get killed in Iraq is because of this man's lie.
You know, Juan, you and I both just heard a gentleman a few minutes ago that didn't want to hear the truth about anything, and when he did, he got agitated and started, it's Clinton's fault, but... To give the rest of the audience some idea of how much in denial these people are, this memo comes out, and it's now known that it is legit. The people over on the Free Republic, it was just sent to me on the thread here on the Guy James Show at Democratic Underground. The people over on the number one Republican right wing website are claiming that the memo is a forgery. So, you know the old saying, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And, you know, that's...
These people, you know, I think what has happened is not only that they're controlling the media, the corporation are controlling the media, controlling speech, but a lot of the responsible people in the media have died off. The people that know why we went to World War II, what we fought for, the freedom of the press, the airways belong to the people. It belongs to all of us. It doesn't belong to a group of people just because they have more money than we do. That is, you know, those people need to come back, or there's someone that is responsible. If they're retired, somebody has to do something, because they are telling lies, and they have people that are seemingly are intelligent enough believing it, and then coming on the radio and spilling all of this lies, and then when they are asked to defend the point, they don't have any facts. They, like you said, they attack Clinton, or they talk about something else. You know, we need an honest discussion, and we know that Rush Limbaugh likes to keep, he says, a few Democrats, I haven't listened to him for about a year, I'm sure he's still saying it because he repeats the same thing, a few Democrats around or liberals to remind them what we're like, what we know what they're like. And when he said he wants to engage them in discussion. He doesn't. He is just another liar. But it seems like it's typical of the people in the right. The farther, the more extremist they are, the more they twist the truth or tell untruth.
Juan, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you, Ben.
Great to hear from you. We're going to go to Juanita in Winter Haven. Hello, Juanita.
Hello there. I didn't get the first 2 hours of your show because I was in Orlando.
What, were you over at Disney World?
No.
Were you over there riding one of those wild rides there at Disney World?
I went on a wild goose chase with my son. We were looking for something we never found. But anyway, I will be listening to it on the White Rose Society. Recording. I'm so thankful for that. And I just a little something I wanted to say about the people at the church, you know, in North Carolina.
Yes.
I totally agree with you. I'm glad the cat's out of the bag. And this is one reason that I quit going to the denomination of my choice, because there was so much of that. And I really didn't mind when people said who they wanted, but it was when they were denigrating the Democrats, you know, and just saying horrible things, and it just made you feel awful, you know. And
not the place for it.
And I wonder. I remember one thing so clearly was this one church I was going to, and it was when Hillary was trying to get help for everybody, and she had been listening to Pat Robertson, which at that time I had quit listening to him. And she said that she was talking, and she was one of the sweetest people, but she got so hateful. You could just see the hate coming out of her. And I told her at that time I was working, but I didn't have any insurance. And, you know, I was kind of hoping that they would do something. But I never will forget. It made me feel so horrible that she was fired for this. And I wonder how Pat Robertson feels that he's kept people from getting medical care in this country.
Well,
because they could have, I mean, she might not have had the greatest plan, but they could have reworked it. They always rework everything.
That's right. That's right. They wanted nothing to do with it. They wanted nothing to do with solving that because they thought they were going to make Bill Clinton look bad.
I tell you one more thing?
Sure.
Now, I don't know how some people feel about this, but, you know, Jane Fonda's written a book.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a bestseller. I was just showing you the difference in people between her and Ann Coulter. Jane Fonda was signing an autograph, signing books a couple of weeks ago, and a Vietnam veteran came and had chewing tobacco deliberately and spit in her face. And they said she just cleaned it off and just kept on going. And Ann Coulter was speaking somewhere, and a young man asked her about, you know, sodomizing.
Mm-hmm. Heard that.
And she would not stay unless he was arrested, and he was arrested.
Yeah.
Now, that kind of shows you the difference, I think.
Oh, sure. And you know, since you brought up Ann Coulter and Jane Fonda, I know what a lot of people think of Jane Fonda, and I know a lot of people on the right hate her, and I know a lot of Vietnam veterans hate her and everything, but there is such thing as forgiveness.
Right.
And if she had any transgressions during that time, she has apologized over and over and over.
She sure has.
And performed many acts of contrition, and don't forget about forgiveness, people.
Yeah, and she is a Christian now.
Yeah, so that's... That's a good thing. Juanita, thank you for your call.
You too. You have a good weekend.
Very nice to hear from you. Well, once again, we've gone through. Still got some callers on the line. I'm sorry I can't get hold and get up to get your calls this evening. We've got swamped there toward the end of the program. So glad to have all of you along with us this week. I do want to remind you, if you can, to please go to www.theguyjamesshow.com and help support the program with your dollars. It certainly helps us stay on the air. We're ever so grateful to every last one of you that donated to this program. Jeff, wherever you are, good night. We always want to remember Jeff. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Good night.
I, James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer, Gene Charles. Research director, Michael Merrick. Production manager, Frank Princeton. Marketing director, Lila St. John. We thank the staff for their continued dedication. And we thank you, the listeners, for your interest in our show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. This has been the Guy James Show.
Official news.